finally they're like, they're searching through the vehicle. They find that dude's bag with like the hockey bag with like
everything.
Everything. And the cops went bananas. They were like, what the fuck is this? Like, freaked out. Now they're like getting serious. They're like calling for backup. Like, that's an enormous bust, you know? So the guy's like, you know, whose is this? He's like, I need to know whose this is. And the guy wasn't fessing up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. How are you guys? Can you hear the smile on my face? I just jizzed in a cup. I'm going to test to see how fertile I am. You got to jizz in this cup, and then you got to wait 20 minutes, it says. They give you all these rules. They give you all these rules. First of all, they said they need every drop. You need to take every drop, it says. Exactly to the bottom of the raised frosted line. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to test see how infertile I am. Hopefully very infertile. I think most people buy this to see if they are fertile, but why would you want that? So on today's episode of The Skeptic Tank, I talked to a guy who traveled around with fish. Fucking Grateful Dead style, but with fish. What's the difference, you might say? I might say the same thing. I have no idea. It seemed like, whenever I grew up, it always seemed like fish was just an extension of Grateful Dead people. They're this hippie jam band. They just play, you know, 25-minute songs. I didn't understand the drugs part of it. I didn't understand the drugs part of it at all. I didn't even think in those terms. So I just thought, you know, it's just fucking shitty get drunk music or something. And, I figured the guys, when I went to college, were like, well, you were too late for the Grateful Dead, so you get fish. It always seemed like that to me. But, I mean, I guess there's differences. So, this dude, Mike Fenoya, goes into it. He travels on the road with them, and he got tickets to that final Grateful Dead show that turned out not to be the final Grateful Dead show. What a fuck you to the face of all the guys who, like, won this lottery. So you go see the Grateful Dead, their final show ever. They built, that's it, we're done. The road to it is the road to the final show ever. Chicago, final show ever with all the surviving members. And then like 2 weeks later, they're just doing more shows. you thought you had the lottery one. You fool, bands don't care about you. But I do. And at Ari Shaffir, I'm giving you 25% off the entire store up until the end of the year. For real. I don't want to hold shit anymore. So if you want stuff, I'm making everything 25% off. Christmas gifts? I guess that's a good time to use it. So anyway, go to arithegreat.com/merch and get it. You can also get tickets to my shows like in New York, December 15th. This is not happening. Oh, we got a good lineup. I'm not going to tell you who, right? I'm not going to tell you who. If you really need to know, I guess you can private message me. But like, just come. It's a good lineup. Wouldn't it be better if it's just surprises? But yeah, it's really good. So December 15th at the Village Underground, 8 p.m. Get tickets at arithegreat.com. Village Underground is on McDougal and 3rd. Well, 3rd, right next to in between 3rd and 6th. Well, McDougal and 6th. Bad at explaining. I remember one time Mark Maron got mad because somebody insulted the Grateful Dead. He was in a show at the Purple Onion. We did This Is Not Happening at the Purple Onion like a year into when we were doing the show. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. Two cool shows in October for the Sketch Fest. No, January for Sketch Fest. And I was there at the Monsters of Comedy tour. We did a stop there. One of the fucking best shows of the tour. Purple Onion. It's gone now. It's something else now. But So he was talking about something, or maybe Bobcat Goldthwait was talking about something about Grateful Dead, and somebody said something for the audience about it not being good. I think it was Bobcat Goldthwait was on, and Mark Maron was on the side, and the guy was like, boo to Grateful Dead. And Mark Maron was like, why would you boo one of the greatest rock bands of all time? This just shows how still stupid you are. He just was so mad. He got really worked up. But I was like, I didn't have the courage to say it, but I was like, dude, I don't know the Grateful Dead either. And I don't really know Fish. I don't know about jam bands, but so this guy tells us, wait, how long has that been? Okay, 4 minutes. We didn't even just fill to the frosted bottom. And not over. It said every drop of jizz. You got to wait 20 minutes for it to decalcify. What did it say? What did it? This is so great. Frequently, no, I don't care about that. Ejaculate directly into the semen collection cup without losing any portion of the semen. That's all right. Already, you're trying to look at the screen. You can't stare at a cup at the end. That ruins it. So you just got to tilt, aim, and just hope you land it all in there. And when you just into a cup from that. By the way, I couldn't have done it for 2 days. They make you wait between 2 and 7 days to ejaculate. So I had to wait fucking 2.5 days. It was almost 3, 4 a.m. Well, two. All right, almost 2.5, just over 2.5 days of no jizzing, no masturbating, no sex, no nothing. And it slams into the bottom of a cup. It sounds like you're milking a cow. That. Do not use lubricants or lotion since this may interfere with the test results. So, guess what? I didn't. I go dry. I'm a dry guy a lot. It is important to collect the entire ejaculate. If you do lose some of the semen, discard the sample. Rinse the cup with soap with tap water only and let it air dry before using. Don't use soap or detergent. All right. Let the cup stand on a flat, dry surface. Semen should be tested within 3 hours after the collection. Yeah, that's not a problem. I don't foresee myself leaving this ejaculate out to come back to after my show tonight. Oh, man. Could someone just hear me say that? Oh, maybe. All right. All right, you guys. Let's start the episode. So, Mike Fenoya, if you want to see him, he's got a few dates coming up. Funny comic. He lives with Big J and Christine. He's their roommate. This is not. Oh, it is going. Okay, here it is. He is December 18th, Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, Connecticut, opening for Impractical Jokers. Oh, that's just him. And then opening for Practical Jokers December 19th in Vermont. And he's got his own podcast, the Jamcast, and his Twitter is at Mike Fenoya. You're never going to be able to spell that. N-O-F-I-N-O-I-A. MikeFenoya.com for details. And AriTheGreat.com for details on this podcast for some videos of Fenoya. I usually try to put like a couple of their stand-up clips on the site. I call them for you. I tell what all the music is on there. December 15th, this is not happening. Get tickets. Only says he's 200, and we're like half sold out already. We just opened up the tickets, so get tickets. You guys, as I get more popular, you guys are going to have to buy tickets ahead of time. I know it sucks, but soon it's getting to that point. Wasn't a problem in Boston, but it was in somewhere else. In like Calgary, it was. People got shut out. All right, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 246. Oh, and the Danish and O'Neill 250 is coming. An interview with Ari Shaffir. They interview me for 250. Okay, wait, what are we at now? 246, Fish Heads with Mike Fenoya starts now. Oh, okay, and here's the deal. All right, so I recorded this on ambient sound. My thing was set wrong. There was one intro, if you guys remember, maybe the Gary Veeder intro that sounded all weird. Because I had it fucking set to the ambient thing instead of the mics. So that was even weird because I did it outside. But this one, it sounds okay. I'm just letting you know right now. It sounds like radio in the 90s. You know, like a little hollow, but still pretty good. Early on, you might hear a shuffle of me like putting the thing down, but it'll totally sound fine once you get used to it. Give it like 3 minutes. Don't fucking give me a hard time. This is one of the ones I recorded that I was like seriously thinking of fucking quitting this podcast over. Doing all that work and then having to go nowhere. So it was either this or try to do it again and see what I forgot when I talked to him again, which seemed lame. So anyway, give it 7 minutes, and if it's still bothering you then you can shut it off if you want. But it's honestly, it's fine. It's completely audible. All right, let's do it. Let's start the episode. Episode 246, Fish Heads with Mike Fenoya. Oh, and what a perfect song. What a perfect song to play for the intro. If you guys haven't seen this video, it's demented as fuck. And I just found out that Bill Paxton was the one who directed it and produced it. I was watching some videos about the guys talking about this video and this song, Barnes and Barnes. Yeah. It's weird. Anyway. Enjoy the episode.
Ask a fish head anything you want to. They won't answer. They can't talk.
Fish head, fish head, roly poly fish head, fish head, fish head, eat them up, yum.
Yeah, bathrooms are way better.
Yeah.
Even if it was like the common bathroom that everybody had to use. You know?
Yeah.
And then, but you also, it was like sort of yours. Like if the bathroom in your place is where it is now, and then Jay and Christine had a bathroom in their bedroom.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I would happily use like the common bathroom.
Yeah. And you know, most of the time they're gonna go to their bedroom.
Right. You know what the problem is too, is like with that, with those two, they don't have any room in their room for anything. So it's like they hang all their towels. Like I don't have any room. If you go in our apartment, like nothing is mine. Huh?
You mean nothing's yours?
Oh, well, like all my shit is just in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And like the bottom shelf on the fridge. That's pretty much my space. You know what I mean?
The fridge?
Yeah. I adopted the bottom floor.
Yeah. So. The size and this places here.
Oh, it's such shit.
And there's always one thing that you're like, ugh. Like here, the trash is like right out there instead of out front. It's like, But fine.
They're redoing a bunch of gas lines at our place. So right now it's a mess. There's like holes in the bathroom wall and shit like that.
And you can hear the banging through those holes.
It's brutal. And like the first thing, I have to say, the first thing I thought was like, this building's going to explode. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the fucking last thing I need right now. It's like a, just let me know so I can get
out. When you picture the building exploding, do you picture yourself in the building or coming home to an exploded building?
I picture myself just leaving and then feeling guilty forever if like anything happened to Jay or like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but like when the other building exploded, it was weird. Like I had just left. I was doing shows at Stress Factory.
Where was that second, what, ninth?
Second and between 7th and 8th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was below St. Mark's, so it must have been 7th.
Okay, yeah.
And like I was in the tunnel going to Jersey and like I didn't, my phone was out of service for like whatever, 2 minutes. I got out and there's like text from like Sam Morrell, Dan Calloway, like a whole bunch of people, and they're like, dude, are you okay? Like, what happened? Like, calls from my mother. Like,
yeah, you're
like,
all blocks away from there. You're right on the corner.
We were right on the corner. I left, I think the thing happened at like, whatever, 30, like 2:30 or something, and I left at like 2:18.
Yeah.
So it was like, I missed it by like 10 minutes.
Wow.
But I ended up having to stay in Jersey because of it, because like they blocked off. Jay was like, don't even bother coming home. Because I don't know if you remember, but...
I remember, that whole street, they shut down 2nd mostly. You couldn't walk, you had to walk around. If you come down where that new school is, whatever that place is...
Yep.
They would, like, stop you halfway down the block.
I think it was from 14th all the way down to Houston was, like...
Really?
Completely blocked.
Oh, I didn't see that. I was gone. I was in, I think, Sacramento or somewhere when it happened.
I didn't think terrorists right away. I think a lot of people did because, like, they weren't sure, like... They thought somebody went in and like manipulated the gas lines and shit like that. But I think about it sometimes, man, and I look at some of these buildings and I'm like, they're just tinder boxes. Like these things are, how there hasn't been more fucking insane fires in New York. I don't get it. You know what I mean?
The funny thing I like is, so now it's a big empty lot.
Yeah.
You know, they've crumbled all the rubble. You know, it's not smoking anymore or anything.
Right.
It's just like a mini World Trade Center.
Totally. It really is.
But the places that, so the places that did have a building in front of it, on the side of it, are now, there's one guy who has a deck.
He totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really
a lot of sun.
Do you ever think about that? Like, all those places that, like, if there's an abandoned building, or if there's, like, sometimes when you're, like, out of the city and you're driving, you see, like, an old whatever garage that, like, has been dilapidated. Now weeds are growing. Knock that shit down and put a nice, like, botanical garden. Or a park or something
That's
like that.
That's what the whole first season of Parks and Rec was about.
Yeah.
Getting a park in somewhere,
I'm
right?
I'm all for it, man. I think that would be great. Imagine, like, instead of sitting in traffic and looking at some, like, dog shit old, like, transmission place.
Yeah.
You can see, like, a nice, like, you know,
trees,
Japanese maple and, like, a Buddha statue. I would love that shit. An arboretum.
Yeah.
I'm all for it, man.
Yeah.
Especially in the city.
Yeah, they have those little mini parks around here. Some of them, especially in our neighborhood, are great. Between B and C, too, if you go a little bit further.
I haven't, like, explored much of, like, east of First.
Well, I used to get scared of this neighborhood because of Alphabet City, but it ain't like that. I mean, you see it. There's fucking thrift stores around here. And,
yeah, it's really fun. Nice.
It gets a little ethnic at C, between C and D, but, like, Dayton is fun ethnic. It's not the wrong kind of ethnic.
It's a fun ethnic. Yeah, it's more kind of like every day is like
it's
a
not
festival.
The garbage people if they're nice people.
Dude, we've got, and surprisingly because we're right across from the police station.
Oh, yeah.
People just don't give a fuck. Like, there's a methadone clinic, like, a couple blocks away.
Really?
Remember I think I'm going to show you the pictures that, like, it was, like, 10:15 in the morning and there was that dude just passed out dead, like, in the middle of the street and he was annihilated. Wasted, stunk like booze, but he had a whole bunch of track marks and shit.
Yeah.
So I walked up and I'm like, this woman's like, this guy's dead. And I can't walk past that shit. I have to.
You have to do something?
I just feel like I have to kind of like, what if the dude actually dies? Because I didn't.
You know. Right. If he is dead, not your problem.
Not my problem.
If he's dying, then you should be helping.
I should try to help, you know what I mean?
Well, you're a good person.
But not like I would get down and like mouth to mouth or anything. That's where I draw the line. But I'll go get someone.
Yeah.
And I went and got a cop, and I'm like, dude, this guy I think is dying or whatever. And the cop walks over, and he had his, like, the butt end of his flashlight.
Yeah.
And he caught him underneath the ribs in a spot. We were screaming in this dude's face, okay? Yeah. Wasn't moving, wasn't blinking. The cop caught him with this one little spot, like, below a bottom rib. And the dude popped right up, like, right the fuck
really?
Out. But the cop wasn't beating him. I go, what the fuck was that? And he goes, it's just, there's like four pressure points that like, if you hit them, it'll like literally pop you back into consciousness, like out of.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. I saw like, and he was like, you know, he showed it's like kind of right, I think like near your kidney or something. I think there must be some weird protectant spot that protects like your pancreas and kidneys. And
yeah. And where does that just come from? Like years of dealing with fucking drunks and problem
yeah, just abusers. Prodding until it works. Yeah, like a pincushion.
Yeah. But the cop's like, no, here's what you gotta hit him.
Here's what you do. And what they did, they got him, they gave him a bottle of water, they sat him up, he fell down again. Weird shit midday. I watched a dude take a shit in the middle of the street.
Oh, that's
crazy.
One.
Yeah, right in front of Moonstruck. He held on to two mirrors and he was leaning back and the mirrors retracted. You know how like the side mirror, and he kind of like while he was shitting, and he caught himself in like a crab crawl type thing, and he just kept going, just dropped heat, got up.
How solid was it?
I heard it, so it wasn't completely solid. It was more like a poof,
it's a bit of a splash,
like a soft serve, but like not super mushy. I didn't go up and like examine it, but I was watching from across the street,
like a body falling off a cliff. Fat body falling off a cliff.
Fat body off of like a short cliff. Okay. Absolutely. It wasn't like a huge splatter, but it was like maybe he landed in mud.
Yeah.
Like
a body's been in the water, like you're in a lake for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
and then
yeah, totally. A soggy body.
Yeah.
And he took a shit and just like pulled up his pants, walked away. And all I could think about was like, this dude didn't fucking wipe. Like that to me was the worst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, however bad his day is, it's now worse with, like, a dirty, itchy asshole. You can be having the greatest day in the world, and if you've got an itchy ass, that's just ruins it for me.
It would ruin it.
It really... But I love this.
Dude, even if I walk around a little bit too much, I'm like, I gotta go wipe my ass.
Are you a baby wipe guy?
No, I should start carrying them around with me. Are you carrying them around?
Yes. Like, when I get to the point where I can have, like, a rider...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's going to be like baby wipes. I love them. I actually don't really use toilet paper much at all anymore.
But you only baby wipe it?
Sometimes.
You're going to start it off with toilet paper and then switch to baby wipes?
No, I go baby wipes.
Even when it's thick?
I go baby wipes. Absolutely. I've only had problems with... My wife says I'm bowel obsessed. That's like an actual thing. I'm always like, my day's fucked up until I shit.
Yeah.
I love to shit. And I like a nice shit. And I like a nice bathroom for it. But baby wipes make it. I travel with them constantly. If I go on the road and I forgot baby wipes, like the first place, like if I'm getting get an Uber to the, you know,
the big wipe,
I'm like, you know, CVS, like, and it, you know, if you have a baby wipe museum in town, I definitely want to visit. You got to go unscented and you have to make sure they're flushable.
Flushable, that's what people
do. That's huge because like a lot of them are for babies. So they just throw them in the diaper. You know what I mean? But you have to look, because I have fucked up many a plumbing.
Really?
With the non-flushable. Ooh. But I'll do 3-4 baby wipes, and then maybe do, like, one piece of toilet paper to just, like, kind of, like a dry...
So I'm going
to
dry one early, then you want the wet run.
Yeah, but you don't want to leave yourself moist, which I hate that word moist, and I apologize to myself.
Yeah, because they're moist and you feel like it's, like, there's stuff coming out.
When you got, like, a swampy ass. Like, I would rather go heavy wet in the beginning and then dry it off, like kind of
dab.
I'd actually love to go like soft paper towel.
Right, because there's less dingleberries with that.
Totally, no butt lint.
Do you ever do this when you're at a hotel, is take the hand towels and just finish off with a full hand towel?
Yeah, sometimes you get a bloody streak.
Yeah
I love it. I'm all for that.
Yeah,
I think that like
no dingleberries with a hand
towel. Nothing at all, although you do have to like, it may get a little irritated because of like whatever like
shakiness of it.
Generic like detergent that they, you know how some like starchy fucking, and plus who knows what the fuck is on, you're wiping like old load
straight into your asshole.
I think it's amazing with technology how we haven't really revolutionized like the shitting experience.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like all the technology we have, like still like chains and toilets and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks like an old sewing machine from the 1800s is like submerged in a tank.
The toilets in Scotland were like backwards. They had a 2-flush, the pee flush and the shit flush.
Really?
You can never tell which one's which.
So they have a solid and a liquid flush.
It's just a bigger flush.
Wow. I like a heavy, like, sucking flush. Like,
yeah, but not if you're peeing, right? You don't need that if you're peeing.
No.
So that's what they're saying, like, don't waste it for just some pee.
Were you ever shitting in a public place and they have the automatic, like, sensor flush?
And have it come on?
Yeah. And you get, like, it sucks your pancreas out of your ass and then also sprays water, like, everywhere.
The water spray.
Oh, it's so brutal.
You're like,
ew. I hate that.
Spray the water.
I have such a hard time shitting in public.
You ever shit in a plane?
I shit diarrhea, emergency diarrhea shit in a plane. That's the only type of you shit on planes?
I have no, never. And maybe once since then, but I don't think so. And I would have remembered. Because I remember once with Rogan, and I was like, fuck, I gotta shit. It was just like a shit. I'm like, no, we're gonna be there in an hour. It's like, you're gonna hold it for an hour? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm not shitting on this.
God.
And then it was like, it was one of his tickets. We were first class, and I think we were 3 back. But I was like, dude, get my shit. Get my stuff. Can you? And he's like, yeah. And then as soon as I just ran to the front.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be the first one off. I'm not waiting for some old person if I could figure out their luggage thing.
Sure, totally.
And then, yeah, I was waiting and waiting for that, and then just running off and then just shit.
Oh, God, that's so brutal. I remember one night, it was my 25th birthday, and the girl I dated at the time, huge lush, like very fun drunk.
Yeah.
Until we got to like drink 7 or 8, and then everything turned into like awful, like... imagination, like almost hallucinogenically drunk, but it was always drama. It was never anything fun.
Right.
Like we'd never go on like drunk excursions. She would like think she heard something that I said and turn it into like, so every night started awesome and ended horrible. You know what I mean? So it was my birthday, and we go to an awesome little Irish pub. Turns out there was this kid who was, it was his 21st birthday.
Yeah,
never did shots or anything. So him and I, like, I just like adopted him. I'm like, these are car bombs, these are, you know, snake bites, these are fucking, and we just did shot, we got annihilated. I got so drunk, I joined the New Haven Rugby Club, and I don't remember it at all, but like I got calls for weeks after by these like Irish dude named Seamus. They're like, you missed practice, and no idea. But to like the shitting part, I go home that night, and my stomach is like, she brought me out for like steak and shrimp and all this shit for my birthday dinner.
Yeah.
I got home, Ari, and I was shitting and it smelled so incredibly bad. I started to puke while shitting. And that was the weirdest experience I think I've ever had. Like,
puke while shitting or back and forth?
It started by shitting awful diarrhea first, and then the smell of it made me vomit. And then by like my stomach muscles tightening,
yeah,
I just started like spray shit. You know what I mean? So it was like this oddly, it was kind of an amazing like sobering cleanse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was horrific. And the only other time that that happened to me was actually on a plane where I was like, I had to like shit standing up. And yeah, I puked a little into the sink, but it was, I can't fly hungover anymore, man. It's just brutal.
It's tough. One time we did, my friend Lawrence asked, we wanted to go, we were in Vegas for I think the World Series or something, and then he was like, let's go to, we all were busted out, and he goes, let's go to rehab on Sunday. It's the Palms or the Hard Rock.
That's that rooftop place, right?
No. Uh-uh.
No? Or is there an outdoor part of rehab? Yeah. The pool?
Yeah, it was a pool. It was a giant pool party.
Sure.
And we took some ecstasy, we smoked some cigars, had some booze. It was great.
Mm.
At first I was like, no, man, let's not do it. But then it was like, once we were there, I was like, oh man, this is a great idea. This is amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And then we went to the plane at like 7, 8 p.m. And it was like, what the fuck did we do?
Where were you flying to? That?
Back to L.A. It was only an hour. But like, just even waiting there and even being on the plane, it's like,
brutal, dude. I hate getting fucked up on a plane because like, if I'm getting fucked up for the hope of falling asleep,
yeah,
me thinking about how I want to fall asleep will keep me from falling asleep. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've had a Xanax prescription for a long time,
yeah,
and I'll take them on a plane and I still never get, I end up just landing feeling like a shitty zombie. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I never got the good sleep. Vegas is a great place to fucking, I love, did you like Vegas?
No, I hate Vegas.
You hate Vegas?
Yeah, it's one of the worst cities in America. No, you know what? I've always done Vegas wrong. I do Vegas the way it seems like you're supposed to do it instead of just what I would like to do.
What would you like to do?
Well, I mean, there's so much stuff like that for Vegas. Like, they have all this crazy golf. I would never even think of doing that. I went one time, early on, I was with Jim David. I don't know if he's still around, even.
I think he is.
But I was working the Riviera, and he was there, and I was like, I don't know, I might go to, like, the big canyon they made, whatever it's called, the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, let's go to that. And he was like, okay, because I had a car. He was like, and we went and took pictures. I'm like, that was fun. Or even just laying by the pool all day.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that's okay. But then when it becomes like, what club are we going to go to? Or what? Or are we staying on the strip? It's like, I don't know, man. None of this. I should go to the museum at the Bellagio instead of just fucking.
I've always wanted to rent a car and drive into the desert.
Yeah.
You know, like a hot, like a sports car, like a Jimmy, like mm-hmm. an old, like, massive Jeep.
And then drive off-road, just like...
Yeah, and just head out, like, where, like, Goodfellas or, like, Casino. You or like, yeah, you totally can.
Yeah.
There's spots right on the strip where you can rent a car and just, like, burst out and, like, just return it.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of just give you, like, here's the keys. Like, you can rent a Lamborghini to, like, an old 4x4 Jeep, like an A-team Jeep.
Yeah.
And just burst out and drive as far as you want into the desert and then just come back.
Wow.
Like unlimited mileage, like all types of.
Oh, yeah.
I've totally
no
gone there.
Asked.
Prior to doing stand up, I had like a corporate sales job and I did very well at it. And I just broke off an engagement and I was in a huge like partying phase in my life, like anything and everything I was doing.
Yeah.
And me and another dude went to Vegas with a lot of money and we stayed at the Venetian and, we got table service at like this bar. Prior to doing that, my buddy handed me money. He's like, go find Coke somewhere.
Yeah.
And I walked to this bar, Tao. And,
oh, yeah, I didn't know that one.
I walk in and the dude's like, what's going on, man? You want tickets for tonight? We got this, that, like DJ, whatever. And I was like, no, I'm just looking for some fuel, actually. And I kind of, and he goes,
nice Coke.
Yeah. And he goes, who sent you? And I was like, nobody, man. I'm just visiting. Like, I was very kind of, but looking like I do, like, I kind of do undercover.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy's like, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, Mike, you know, like just, I was very, whatever. And he goes, stand right here. And this beast, like this Samoan, like the biggest, like Hawaiian dude, you know, takes me in a side room and he's like, take your shirt off. And I like took my shirt off and
he's
wires and shit, you know, and he asked me a couple of questions and I'm like, dude, we're just here partying, like whatever. And he brought out this like pink, it looked like pink lemonade mix. It was like pure fish scale Coke or something with like, cut with vitamin B12 and vitamin C.
Yeah.
So like every time you did it, it was like
feel great?
Yeah. And I brought it back to my buddy, and we went over and we got table service at this new bar in Planet Hollywood. And we were sitting next to like New York Giants, and like Paris Hilton was there that night and whatever. He points to these chicks and he goes, "You want those girls to like come hang with you?" Like, his job was to make sure we had a good time. No, this is like another. So like, we left that bar, we went,
okay,
and we're at this place Privé, which was like a brand new club at Planet Hollywood. Okay. I'm not into this like red rope bottle service. You know what I mean? I'd much rather walk around and look at freaks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? The middle bar to me in Vegas is the one to go to.
Yeah,
it's the one in the middle of the casino where you can like look out at everybody.
Totally.
Have a cigar maybe, but just have some drinks and talk to your friends.
There's a cool vodka bar in Vegas that's like all ice. And they give you like a Russian, like, what is those, like babushkas or something, like
sure,
that, and
okay,
the jacket. You sit on an ice block. The whole bar is made out of ice. But anyway, my point is, like, we walk in and like the guy, we were on one side of the red rope and everybody else was kind of whatever. Like I said, we had money to just piss away.
Yeah.
So we got all this shit, we're annihilated. Girls walk over and they're like, what do you do? Why are you here? So we had to obviously make up lies, you know? My buddy goes, I'm a professional hockey player.
Sure.
They bought it. This chick from Edmonton, beautiful girl, comes over to me and she's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm an author and I'm celebrating my book getting published. I don't know why.
I like how you guys are all somehow together too.
Yeah, hockey player and author. Yeah. Like, what a weird Hunter Thompson. Like, and she goes, what's your book about? And I didn't think that far ahead. And I go,
good question.
I go, it's about a guy who goes to Vegas and lies about being an author so he can fuck this chick from Edmonton.
Really?
And she was like, I definitely want to read your book. And like, we ended
what?
Up fucking, dude, it was great. Like, I did had no,
oh my god, that's exactly like me. I'm from Edmonton
and you're an author. And we're in Vegas. And it worked great. And what a night we had.
And you boned?
Oh, all night. Wow. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Great trip.
My favorite thing in Vegas when I was doing those Rogan gigs, and especially going on the same floor, so in the morning when we're leaving, I come, you know, get him.
Sure. She
always want to leave so fucking early. I'm like, what's wrong with the 1 p.m. flight? What's wrong with the 1 p.m. flight? You know, the UFC goes till fucking 1 a.m. We're gonna go eat, maybe go to a thing.
Right.
Let's just sleep till 11:30, man.
Yeah, totally.
Whatever. Never wanted.
Especially since it's such a short flight. It's not like you're going back to New York.
Yeah. What's the problem? Just you're killing your whole day by being tired. Whatever. Anyway, but I was like waiting outside his like door, or I'd be in there like waiting for him to finish getting ready. I would just see these people open up the doors and like leave. These women, and like they're still their like Saturday night outfits.
Yeah.
And they'd look like, bye, like all smiley, and they would see me looking at them, and they would just get this solemn look on their face.
It's so just like, such a sad.
I've been caught.
Isn't that so fucked up? I actually used to feel that way when I would like walk out of the tunnel. Do you remember that club in New York? Like, I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was like these 24-hour raves.
Ugh.
Like pre, like, dude, I was probably 17.
The raves aren't terrible.
17 or 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you would walk in and it was like, dude, you're walking out on a Wednesday morning at like 9:30 and there's like dudes in suits going to work.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like still like chewing on the remnants of a glow stick, you know, and you're just covered in sweat and glitter and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Then you have to get on a train and like go home to Connecticut and just like, dude, I have so many problems. And it's so funny. I got actually, there was a beautiful black girl in Vegas that I didn't know was a stripper. Or didn't know it was a hooker.
Yeah.
And she was like, do you want to go back to my room and hang out? And we start walking and we walk off the strip to like a Best Western, like behind the strip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? I thought you were staying at the, she said she was staying at the Pyramid at the Luxor. As we're walking, like, no bullshit, probably like 4 or 5 SUVs with like State of Nevada, fucking whatever. Like I'm raging into the parking lot. I guess it got busted. It was like a crack house slash like
hooker house
slash like they were dealing tons of shit into the streets. I watched big thing on the news and I'm standing there watching it and like I fucking booked because I was so nervous that like imagine just being like wrong place wrong time.
Yeah.
When like finally Vegas busts like the fucking the shit on the streets.
I just we're taking care of it finally.
Yeah, I'm like I was and there were cops all around and I'm like, is this the Bellagio? And they're like, kid, get out. I just played dumb drunk dude.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. I like Reno for that reason of, like, weird. It's more psychedelically, like, strange to walk around Reno.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Vegas is a little much. I've never really been to Reno, though.
No?
I don't know.
I did Catch in Reno. It was like, you do 8 shows in 6 days there, and they put you up at the, it's a weird, it's the Catch.
The River's 14 shows in 7 days.
two a day for.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those Sunday shows were so bad because you just built.
How early was it?
Was starting to get good. Then Friday and Saturday were awesome, and then death.
Yeah, terrible.
Why are we leading like this?
We had one day of three shows. I was working with this clown, just like a road dude that, like, yeah, you know, his Billy Garen.
Yeah,
his opening joke every night was, he's like, oh, there's one machine out there that's totally paying off. I love it. It's my favorite. What's it called? Oh, the ATM machine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I'm scribbling in my notebook, like trying to, like, I look like I was like making football plays, like arrows. And the guy's like, kid, you got to relax. How long you been doing this? And I'm like, I don't know, a couple of years. He's like, I've been doing this for 20 something years. I make 250 grand a year. I do cruise ships and casinos. He goes, write 1 hour and just do it. He goes, you're putting way too much work in.
Because he wasn't an artist about it at all.
Not at all.
Fucking jobber.
Do you know what he sold his merch was? A hand with a slide that, like, the more you hated someone, the more you can give them the middle finger. Do you know what I mean? It was a stick. It was something you would make, like, in, like, arts and crafts in, like, sixth grade or whatever. He was selling them $3 a piece, 2 for $5. And he, like, sold out every night. Like, boxes.
Really?
He was, like, his last 6 or 7 minutes on stage was, like,
about that.
Buy these, bring them home. You know, when you're driving and you want to give someone the finger, but, you know, two hands on the wheel and, blah, you know, he's like, buy them for your family, buy them for, before people were getting up, they're like, fucking getting their money ready.
I have so much trouble doing that. I'm like, one, this is not coming out of your time to the crowd. Right? Totally. I'm like, hey, I got shirts. This is my shirt this year. Mm-hmm. And if you want this, but it's like, whoa, I feel terrible. I only do it when they drop checks.
Yeah, totally.
I'm like, I know he's paying attention anyway right now.
Yeah, totally. Do you, what's your thoughts on, like, bits on shirts? Have you ever seen this?
I've seen it. My problem really is when you have, like, a saying on your shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, if you had a bit about whatever, you know, going down on a girl, and it was like, you know, downtown all day or something like that, because that's the saying in your bit, and you're like, but now you have to do that bit so you can sell your shit.
Totally.
Now you're changing your art over.
You're compromising the moments on stage. You have to end a certain way. That's when you
become. That's why my merch is only just like, here's a cool tour shirt.
I like your style of, like, there's art to it.
Yeah.
I talk to Jay about that a lot, about, like, the connection between the music I like and the comedy I like is there's, like, a sort of a mystique to it where, you know, at Fish shows or at Dead shows, people get in line before the gates open to get the concert poster for that show.
Why? Before they sell out?
Yeah.
And what do they do?
They're limited edition.
Their cars, or keep them with them the whole time?
That's the bummer. So, that's like, bummer. At indoor shows, like, you go in, like, I only bought one poster. Actually, I bought one at these Dead shows that I just went to in Chicago, but I bought a Providence poster. Each show has a one artist, and they only make, like, 250 posters.
Yeah.
And if it's a big show, like MSG New Year's Eve or something, you know, they'll be like
250 posters, yeah.
And what'll happen is, you know, they'll do a set of four posters. Fish just announced New Year's Eve at Madison Square Garden. So it's going to be the 31st, the 30th, the 31st, January 1st and 2nd, four nights.
Fish?
Yeah.
MSG.
MSG New Year's Eve, yeah. They sell it out every year in minutes. I already put in for my tickets, like, in the pre-order thing.
Yeah.
So they put a hold on your credit card for, like, $1,300 for, like, and if you get the tickets, you get them. You know what I mean? Because it's, like, 70 a ticket, and you get a limit of 4.
Oh, so you're getting them all.
Yeah, because I know 16. I'll just call my buddies and be like, dude, I got 4. What'd you get? Like, and we make sure everybody's in, you know? Yeah. But they'll do a set of 4 posters for the night, you know, for the run. And it'll be like a Manhattan theme poster, you know what I mean? And but with comedy, I really dig that too, where it's like, you know, your shirts have art, and Jay's got, like, the various different, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah, this is my first shirt, and people said it looked like Jerry Garcia.
It totally does. Dude, actually, it's
Jerry Garcia or Marc Maron, or me.
Actually, kind of a hybrid of the three of you, with, like, Prince on top, somehow. Like
Prince?
Yeah, it looks like a...
You're up?
Yeah. No, like, this looks like how Prince looks now.
Oh, that
chick. Like,
oh,
Prince looks like a black chick now. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
That does. There's a specific t-shirt, actually, a Jerry Garcia artwork that looks exactly like that.
Really?
But I love that. I mean, I think that that's more... First of all, it's very timeless. I mean, like, you can...
Yeah, you just wear it. You don't have to be like, what's that saying about what's downtown or browntown? What does that mean?
And also, you don't have to, like... That doesn't tie you to anything.
Yeah.
You could sell that for 20 years.
Right.
And the thing I like about it is, like, with Fish or with all the, like, the music I like, every tour there's a different style. Every tour there's, like, a different component to the merch that gives it like a stamp, like oh shit, like that's really neat. Like a new artist gets a chance to like do. For a while, they only used this one artist, Pollock, and he was like a really, really amazing, very weird, like fish as people in like weird, like kind of MC Escher is like the room is too small for the people and all this other shit. But they've been using a lot of different guys now. And
why would I have a Pollock?
He's still doing it. It's just that actually makes it more. It's Pollock, I think. And if you want to type like fish or whatever.
Yeah.
Really cool art, cool posters. Like he used to do like the first, you know, like logos for.
Their logo's pretty cool. That regular, just basic fish.
Yeah, you see the pipe in it? There's a pipe in the, I think between like the H and the
See
like that little. Yeah, there's the joint is the I, and then between the S and the H, you see that little like Sherlock.
What's a Sherlock?
The Sherlock Holmesy kind of pipe, like in between, like right there. Like imagine if you packed blood there and hit it out of there. You see it?
Sure don't.
No, you don't like see like an old man pipe. Like you see that? Like what separates?
Where do you breathe out of? Where do you breathe out of it?
Right there, like up here.
Let's get another picture of it. Oh, a Fisher's pipe. Gripping entertainment.
See, they make a lot of like lot shirt. Like people make shirts out of like the names of like. See, instead of Tabasco, it says Tweezer. That's the name of a song.
Oh, really?
So, like in the parking lot, people make. You know, they sell these shirts.
Harris Will comes up.
Yeah, he was a big Fish fan, I guess.
Oh, that's right. He's dead now. Yeah, he would go on a tour with them.
Yeah, I did that too for 20 years. I've been doing it over 20 years now.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen him close to
1997.
Yeah, that's when I started in 95 seeing him.
That's what I like, the specific ones. Fish Tour Summer 1997.
Yeah, those shirts are great.
I was there then. It's so specific.
Right, totally. But there's a pipe in the logo. I'll find it on my phone so you can see it better. But you went to Bonnaroo this year.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, so Fish has done 10...
Okay, this will probably be better.
Festival. No, that's not authentic. Oh, do you see it? Maybe they colored it in.
Page.
I'll show you.
The page. Oh, I see it. Yeah, they colored it in.
Yeah.
I get it now. Okay. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, see, like, right there.
Yeah, between okay.
The it's like a magic eye thing. Like,
yeah, I was looking around it.
Yeah.
Because it was blank space. FedEx has the best logo for that. Kevin Chris would always tell me that. You ever notice the FedEx thing? The arrow? You ever just saw that?
I don't know.
This arrow right here.
Oh, no shit. Wow, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, like interesting.
We're getting it there.
We're getting it there for you. Yeah. That's neat. Remember the Camel Light? There was like a guy, like a naked dude with his dick out.
Oh, yeah.
On the Camel Light's leg or something like that. Weird and old that was.
Yeah.
You can't really have those cartoons anymore for cigarettes.
Yeah, totally.
Like, how is this not specifically like geared towards children? They're like, I mean... Good point.
Joe Camel's face looked like a cock and balls. Like it's
I
so
look like
weird.
Joe Camel.
I don't know.
Everybody told me in high school.
Really? Maybe if you had a fat face, you'd.
They said I look like a camel.
Dude, going on tour and following, like I remember in '90, I started seeing Fish in '95.
Yeah.
And I now it's what 2015, and this year I went to another festival. I've been like about 196, 197 shows.
Fish shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would, in the summer, this is how it would be before the internet. We would get a thing in the mail, and it was a newsletter.
Yeah.
And it would have all the dates as to like where they were going.
Did you sign up for the mailing list?
Yeah, you had to make a money order for the amount of tickets that you wanted. And then you would put it in the mail. And you would wait every day. You'd go to the mailbox and you'd check, and they have, you know, finally your tickets would come in the mail. Or if you didn't get tickets, you'd get the money orders back a week before they would go on sale with Ticketmaster. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
So you would know before they went on sale what you had, right?
Oh, that's cool.
So the first time I ever went to like a Fish festival, they put on their own Bonnaroo, just them, no other bands. They had an orchestra play during the day, like the Plattsburgh, New York Orchestra, but this thing was called Clifford Ball, and it was 100,000 people showed up at an Air Force base in, like, upstate New York in 96. I was 15 years old, me and my buddies drove up there. We camped out. Absolutely, like a life-changing experience. I mean, it was like my Woodstock.
Because they played all day?
What they do is, so a set, like if I refer to a set is like a 90-minute set of music, you know what I mean? Yeah. So they play a set on Friday. They open up the gates on Thursday. Everybody camps and parties all night.
Cool.
I'm talking, like, imagine an Air Force base taken over by
hippies.
Kids. And at that point, it was like, you know, khaki wearing, like, bent brim hat, kind of like, you know, long hair coming out of the back, like, just suburban white hippie kids.
Yeah, I remember that when I first started hearing about Phish, when I was in college, so that's, like, 93, 94, 95, 96, and yeah. 7, in those years, it wasn't, like, tie-dye people. Mm-mm. It wasn't hippies. It was just, like, college bro dudes, ones from New York would come down, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of that, man. And, you know, I think it's funny that a lot of people have that stigma. Like, if you listen to the music, even, like, it's nothing at all like the Grateful Dead.
Really?
I think you would actually like it if you... That's the thing that I like...
I remember the Superman song.
The Superman song?
Some song with a lyric about Superman flying. It was, like, one radio hit. They had one radio hit that I remember.
Superman song?
What was their one big radio hit?
Bouncing Around the Room?
Seem like it.
They never really had much radio love. But anyway, giant festival, you know, like, yeah. We go, we camp out. Speaking of shitting, I remember there were 3-day, like, it was a 3-day thing. They only thought there was going to be, like, 40,000 people, and, like, 100,000 showed up.
Oh.
And, bro, the porta-potties by the third day, there was, like, a four, like, probably, no bullshit, like, a 3-foot pile of shit over the seat.
Really?
So someone had to hover. Someone had to hover, and, you know, like, hold your, like, nuts aside and just lay a fucking heater on top of. So my buddy's tent was empty. So I grabbed a Stop and Shop bag and some baby wipes, and I like a grocery bag, and I just went in his tent and just let one loose in a bag.
Oh.
And I know I was a dick, but I mean, you have to do it. And dude, we did it. We would go to shows whenever. Like, Phish is a very East Coast band, so we would, like, I got to go to tons of shows, like, you know, 10 a year, 12 a year, whatever.
Yeah.
In 98 was the first time I actually went, like, quote unquote, like, on tour. I worked the first half of the summer landscaping. I just graduated high school, and a year before, saved up all my money the first half of the summer, and then me and my buddies jumped in a, like, an old Volkswagen bus, and we drove, like, I think we were like 5 weeks on the road.
Just going from show to show.
Show to show. Seeing the country. Like, we made food. We, like, you know, we would stop at a store and buy hundreds of cases of water. Not hundreds of cases, 100 bottles of water, whatever. Yeah. And they're, like, super cheap. We would sell them in the parking lot for, like, a buck or two a piece to, like, make money. A buddy of mine, his dad owned a, like, a cigarette candy wholesale thing. Mm-hmm. And he would give us, like, free cartons of cigarettes. So we would sell packs of cigarettes in the parking lot after the show for, like, $5 a pack. So we'd make, like, $50 a carton. And he would just be like, just bring me back some acid, or bring me back some, like, you know, weed or whatever. And that's what we did. Like, we just, to get from show to show, we would do shit like that. In 98, I did a run of shows. And by the time we got to, like, it was Vernon, New York. The Vernon Downs Raceway was a show. And then 2 days later, like 16 hours north in, like, the woods of Maine, they were going to do another giant 3-day festival to end their tour. And that's like going to, like, a Renaissance fair meets, like, Woodstock. You know what I mean? And it's, they, Phish goes all out to create, like, a little town. There's, like, a sunken city, and there's, like, in the woods, there's all these weird, eerie lights, and, like, all night long, you could just walk around and just trip out and have a fucking... They go over... They're, like, you'll be walking through giant, like, marshmallows on sticks, and
they,
like,
set all that up?
They all set it up. Like, that Phish does.
Oh.
So we were driving from... My buddy's brakes were, like, metal to metal, and he didn't want to go up to Maine. So I'm in the parking lot of a gas station. I've got, like, $8, me and my buddy Chris, and we see this van from Colorado, and I look at my buddy, and I'm like, do you want to just see if we could hitch a ride to the show, and then we'll figure it out when we get there. At this point, Ari, I was so overly tired, and just, my body was just, like, on autopilot, and I was, like, malnourished, and I just felt shitty, but, like, you know, we'd eat, like, a Lunchable and a big, like, Foster's can, like, a beer, like, that was, like, our sustenance, you know? So... we asked this dude, we're like, hey, can we go with you to the show? And he was like, absolutely, man. You know, he has a Colorado license plate, big green shitty van. He's like, I have another guy riding with me and my girlfriend, so you guys make yourself at home. They had like hundreds of loaves of bread in this van, and they were making grilled cheese and shit, like, and selling them. So we hop in. The other hitchhiker was this kid from Rochester, New York, right? He had a hockey bag, like a hockey equipment bag filled with like a pound and a half of mushrooms, a digital scale, probably 2 pounds of weed, like good, like, you know, hydro was like what we called it. You remember that shit up?
Yeah. What did that mean?
Probably like, what's that?
What did that mean?
It was like hydroponically grown or whatever.
Above ground?
In water.
Yeah.
That was right. Like, you know, but anyway, no, like that was the huge, like if you had hydro and perps, those were like the big, remember like dank, like all those dumb, like pot words.
But swag.
He had like a pound and a half of mushrooms, probably 2 pounds of weed, $5,000 in Ziploc bags.
$5,000 cash?
Yes. I had $8. A digital scale, pipes, balls of hash, like weighed out and like ready, all in a hockey bag, right? And he just threw it in the back of this dude's van. We hop in and off we go from Vernon, New York to Limestone, Maine, which is like 40 minutes from the Canada border, right? So we're driving, he's weighing out mushrooms. We're all kind of like, you know, he would throw a cap our way or whatever. And this is one of the most, I think, unproud, is that the right word? Most shameful moments in my life.
That's probably a better word, yeah.
I look at my buddy and I said, I looked at the bag and we were approaching Maine. And I said, next time we stop, let's just jack this dude and grab his shit.
Oh, no.
And so run into the woods. We didn't do it. My buddy was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I finally came back and I was like, yeah, that's the worst thing I ever... Like, I had the most shameful... I had a momentary lapse of, like, any type of... Dude, I was starved. I was so hungry, and I was just like, you know...
Thank God your buddy was there.
I know, man.
Keep you on the fucking straight and narrow, sort of.
We could have just ran into the woods, and everything would have been fine, but...
Not that you couldn't have gotten away with it, but it's just like, oh, this guy's being so kind and nice.
Yeah, totally. So... After that, we're driving. We had to get off exit 55.
I know that feeling. Like, I could just take all this.
I was like, dude, honestly, like, all I have to do... And my buddy is way bigger than me. And he could have just easily, like, just jacked him up. And we could have just, like, ran. It wouldn't have been a big deal at all. Well, you know, regardless, though, that guilt and that paranoia I would have felt at the festival. Like, is he here? Is he looking for us?
Oh, yeah, when he found you.
That's the thing. I never would have been able to enjoy... that moment. Like, that's the thing, even with, like, the
great... Even the next festival, he could find you.
It's a very small community.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's 100,000 people, but, you know...
He's on the road, too.
Right. So, we're driving, and we were supposed to get to exit 55, University of Maine. I was going to get dropped off, meet with my other friends, and we were all going to go together. At exit 52, which is Newport, Maine, we get pulled over by, like, Maine State Troopers for not having a light on the license plate. So, it's, like, 1 in the morning... I'm zonked out.
In the van?
Yes.
Yeah.
Zonked out in this van. We get pulled over. I hear the guy like, put everything away. Put everything away. The driver. I'm 18, I think, at this point. Like, yeah. Almost. Yeah. So the cop pulls us over and he goes, hey, everybody, you know, you're near the Maine border or Canada border. We just need to make sure you don't have any like tanks or rocket launchers or grenades or anything. Missiles. Shit that like, what? If you weren't guilty... You would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, how am I going to have a tank? Like, it was just one of those things where, like, the cop knows that, like, if you're, like, no tanks, no, you're guilty of something.
No, officer, we don't have any of that.
We have no missiles. Okay. Yeah, it's a dumb van. So the guy freaked out, and he was like, no, sir, we don't have anything like that. And the cop shines his flashlight, and he sees a joint rolled on the guy's girlfriend's lap, which gives probable cause to search the vehicle. Now, that guy with all the shit... he gave me and my buddy mushrooms. So he gave me an eighth. So in my backpack, I had a jar pot, an eighth of mushrooms, and a pipe. Huh. And that's all I had to my life, Ari. It was like that bag and like dirty socks and underwear and contact lenses and shit like that. My buddy had a quarter of mushrooms in his pocket. The guy goes, everybody out of the vehicle. So he opens up the side door of the van. My friend walks out of the van, looks to the right, and sees a cop. So he has the mushrooms in his hand in a bag. and he ditches him to the left. He like throws him like this.
Yeah.
And he didn't look, but there was another cop standing there, and he's the quarter of mushrooms nails the cop in the hip and just rolls down and literally cartoonishly just opens. Like, wah, wah, you know, and it just like, and the guy's like, well, there we go. And he grabs my buddy, throws him in the car. Like, they ride him up.
Police car.
Yeah. Finally, they're like, they're searching through the vehicle. They find that dude's bag with like, the hockey bag with like,
everything.
Everything. And the cops went bananas. They were like, what the fuck is this? Like, freaked out. Now they're like getting serious. They're like calling for backup. Like, that's an enormous bust, you know? So the guy's like, you know, whose is this? He's like, I need to know whose this is. And the guy wasn't fessing up, you know? And the girl was like, come on, you gotta be honest. You gotta tell him it's yours. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I gotta ride with you. So he was like trying to pin it on the driver. He's like, I don't know whose bag, you know, like whatever. Yeah. But the idiot had his like wallet with his license in the bag. So he ends up getting pinched for
the
that.
The best thing is not to be honest right away. It's like, let's see how this plays out.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't want to blame it on anybody, but why am I
going to
say
I
did it.
Totally. That's my move, was I stood there silent. You know what I mean? But I don't know whether I was cold or nervous, but I had a little bit of like a shake, like a shiver. Mm-hmm. And the cop's like, you haven't said much. And I'm like, I don't have much to say. And he's like,
you can't add much to the situation, officer.
Yeah, I really, you need help.
Story's moving along like, yeah. Like, right, so.
And I didn't look like this then. I had long, long hair and a beard, and I was like kind of skinny. And the guy goes, you've been quiet. He goes, come over, I'll get you like a sweatshirt or a blanket. And he grabs me and he's like, if you tell me what I'm going to find in the rest of this search, I'll let you all go. But if I find something that you didn't tell me about, like, you're all gone. He put me, like, on the spot.
What is that?
Ari, I was so furious. And I'm like, I go, dude, listen, I got a ride from the, I'm like, I'm a freshman at University of Maine. Like, I just was getting a ride. Like, my buddy's car broke down. We're going to try to maybe go see this Fish concert. I don't know. All I know is that's my bag right there. And I knew it had an eighth of mushrooms and weed in a bowl. And I go, that's the only thing I'll take responsibility for, dude. I'm like, I don't know any of them. I'm like, don't put me in this situation. Like, you know. And I walk back over, and he goes, does this look familiar to you? And he pulls it out, and it's all my shit. And I'm like, was it in my bag that I told you, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, yep. And I'm like, then it's mine. And we got written up. We got possession of Schedule X drugs. He gave us tickets.
Schedule X?
Schedule X in Maine, I guess, is anything from, like, a couple ounces of weed to, like, PCP, heroin. Like, it's, like, over... Now, this is 98, so weed was still, you know, like, over a certain amount of weed to, like... meth was this weird Schedule X. So I think what it was like a way for them to make more money on the fines.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So they can like just basically say it's upwards to 10 grand and like 2 years in jail and all that. So he gives us tickets and lets us go. Searches the tears the vehicle apart. Took everything. Took that dude's giant bag. Somehow the chick saved a joint like in her like panties or whatever, and like when we pulled away, she lit it up and was like, whoa, we got away with that. And I was like, oh my God, like, I want to go home. Like, I'm just so, like, you know, like, nervous, and it's not even fun anymore at this point. Like, I've been on the road for, like, over a month, and I'm like, what's happening?
I got away with it, John.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I'm like, dude, we're going to die. So we get up to the show. We have a great time at the show. I have a promise to appear in court back in Maine. So me and my buddy drive up there 8 hours, and, we got tickets. The cop that arrested us was there, and he goes, this guy was actually very nice and, like, you know, accommodating or whatever. He was, like, cool to me. And I got an $800 fine and, like, 3 years probation in Maine. But it was, like, a female judge, and I called her sir, and then some, like, yokel in the fucking court was like, he just called her sir, and, like, everybody started laughing, and I was like,
shut up, bro.
Fuck, I'm done, man. Yeah, like, she's gonna put me away. But it was great. It was fun. Like, I don't have any regret. Like, I love... Like, they just released their tour dates, and I, like, got to, you know, like,
really?
I'm ready to go.
What makes something a good Fish show or a bad Fish show?
What's the difference? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, at this point, the music is, like, they went through a period where they fucking sucked. Like, they were terrible. Like, they were junk. Oh, really? The Trey, the lead singer, was all fucked up on drugs, and it got bad, but now they're sober, and they're great, and whatever. For me, it's who I'm with. It's like, you know, the seats, like the, I don't necessarily have to be one of these like front row dudes, you know what I mean? Like, I actually prefer to be like,
it seems like it's more about the experience than about the music for them, right?
It's 50-50 for sure. Okay. I mean, I found at this point, like, I do a lot of, like, I like transcendental meditation and shit like that, and I like expanding my consciousness and shit. The thing I like about fish is it gets me to a place where it's like time doesn't matter, and like, I like music like that. I like art like that, where I can like look at something and I forget I'm in like your apartment. I'm just staring at that poster and I'm into it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And fish for me just gets me there.
Oh, right.
And that's something I really like. Like, there's
DJ logic, where it's like, just get this party started so we can have a good time.
That's it, man. Like, just the minute, there's this like millisecond when the lights go down at MSG, like, from everyone's talking and getting ready for the show, and you're in your seat and you take your jacket off and you're like maybe lighting up a joint or whatever, getting a beer, and all of a sudden the house lights go down and there's just this fucking roar and the crowd just goes ape shit and the band comes out and then it gets even like a higher decibel, you know? And that moment to me is just this very kind of like when a roller coaster is kind of like slowly creeping up, you know, and then it's like ready to take off, and that moment to me is like none other. Like, I just love that feeling, and it's like, here we go, we got another ride, you know. And it's just the shows are great, there's some that are whatever, but the thing I like about Fish is they never play the same set. They've never played the same concert once in their entire,
all the way through.
Well, no, they have such an enormous amount of songs, they just mix it up every, they don't know what they're going to play when they go up on stage. Like, they'll start with a song and wherever it leads, you know, they kind of make it up as they go.
Oh, okay, like comedian set list.
Very, yeah, yeah. It's very improv, like jazz in that way. You know what I mean? Where it's going to go, where it's going to go.
And what do they do, 90-minute sets?
They do 90-minute to 100-minute sets, yep.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. One year, for the millennium, 99 into 2000 New Year's, they played at the Big Cypress Seminole Indian Reservation in the Everglades. And we went and we camped out in the Everglades. And they went on at 11:45 on New Year's Eve, and they played until the sun came up.
All night. Really?
It was fucking madness, Ari. It was insane.
That's cool.
It was so great, and they just played all night long. They would cover, like, they did, like, a shitload of, like, Talking Heads tunes. They did, like, a bunch of their tunes, you know, like, but it was, like, an 8-hour, 9-hour set, you know? So everybody was taking, you know, like, during the day on the 31st, it was like, let's run around and find whatever, like, party favors we need to stay awake.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And this was like...
Snort Ritalin.
Yeah, totally. And this was when Molly was kind of like a fish thing. Like, that Molly stuff kind of started in our scene a little bit, because it was like, well, press... At first, when I first started, it was like mushrooms, acid... weed, beer, good beer, you know, like, and there wasn't a lot of, like, speed, you didn't see a lot of junkies, there were, like, dready, whatever kids, but they were just trust fund, like, you know, Westchester County hippies.
Trustafarian.
Prep school hippies, you know what I mean? Yeah, Trustafarian.
Driving a daddy Lex.
Exactly, you know, like, they'd show up in, like a Land Rover with, like, hot chicks named fucking Topher and whatever else. So, like, and we were just whatever, you know, but, Gel Tabs came around in like 97, 98. Those were like the really good acid that was like gelatinous.
Okay.
That like melted on your tongue, and it was very giggly and a lot of fun. And then in 98 or so, that's when pressed like ecstasy pills started kind of... And that's when shit just got weird. Like the whole scene got very dirty. And but my point to this is that I remember like you wanted to find like speedy pills for that New Year's Eve set. And so you asked the dude, like, you'd have to, like, it was so funny because you're, like, asking a fucking rat, you know, like, to verify, like, you know, is this, like, you know, seal of approval? And he'd be like, dude, this is so great. It's fuel. You're going to have such a great night. And we ended up getting, like, these, like, dopey, like, smack downer, like, just, you know, and it was just not fun. Like, it just ruined a lot of the night for a lot of people, you know, that I knew, that everyone was just kind of like fucking very like kind of just chewing on their lip. Gross. Yeah, like eating meth almost, you know, like a weird, without the speed.
Yeah, the dopey stuff. Sometimes I'll like fall asleep at a stand or something. I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired. And then somebody's like, just smoke pot. I'm like, oh yeah, I smoked 8 hours of pot.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably associated with that.
Yeah.
They wake up at noon, but then all that pot.
That's probably, it has everything to do with it, you know? And that's why a lot of, like, I go to, like...
So that makes a bad fish show.
Yeah. I mean, and just, you know, now what probably makes it the worst is, like, everyone has their phone out. everybody's
it's a problem at concerts.
Taping. Like, now there's these apps. Have you ever heard of, like, Mixlr? M-I-X-L-R. It's actually really great. Like, if you... You know, let's say, like, you who do you like? War on Drugs, let's say, right? Sure. Or, like, whatever. Band of Horses. What's a band you're, like...
I like Band of Horses.
Okay, so Band of Horses is doing a show in, like, Fresno. You can find someone on Mixlr that is at the show, and they're live streaming it. So you can go on to Mixlr and type Band of Horses, and you'll find that show, and you can listen to it live sitting outside the stand. It's really great.
Everyone's doing
it. But there's this dude that's in front of you.
Blocking.
Yeah. And tickets aren't cheap, dude. Like, my first Phish show, I think the ticket was $17.50.
Yeah.
$75. And now, I mean, nowadays, they're like $75.
Yeah.
$80. And that's through Ticketmaster and all that other, like, that's not scalper prices. That's, like, face value. So you're paying, you know, I go see 3-4 shows. It's like $400, like, before you even get to, like, beers and getting there and parking and all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to do is see some dude, like...
blocking you. I saw this thing at Outside Lands, every, like, third porta-potty. It showed, there was pictures on it saying, like, let's make the concert experience good.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, stick figures, but you see someone on a band, so, like, this will be the piece of paper, and it'll show you a band up here, and you'll see dot, 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 into, like, a person here, and that's their eye line straight through, and then someone else raising a, you know, a thing, blocking the eye line, and just like, dude, nobody wants to look at the concert through your phone.
It's so ridiculous.
And also, what are you doing? You're all looking up, making sure it's the right angle. You're not just holding it up and enjoying it. You're looking at your phone.
It's amazing.
You're ruining it for yourself and others.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is that that step leads to you looking at it, you showing your friend, you talking, and then you, like, do... And then that Phish, one of the most amazing things about them, and I'd love to show you a video, is, like, the fifth member of the band is the light guy. They put on a phenomenal light show. I mean, just amazing. And, it fucks that up because it's like that Louis bit, like he's looking into like a beautiful sea of darkness, and you got one idiot illuminating his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, people aren't paying attention to the visual aspect of the show as well is so important. The Grateful Dead and Phish started this thing. Well, the Grateful Dead started it, but what they did was they allowed people to tape the concerts, like tape the shows live and then trade them with other people. You know what I mean? So like free distribution of their live concerts.
That's cool.
So what they did was in the middle of the, right around the soundboard, you could reserve a taper ticket. You could buy a taper ticket.
So
you'd go with your equipment and you would have like a, you know, like a stand and you would put your mic up and all your recording equipment, like DAT, like digital audio tape.
It was a sound booth.
Right. So it was a designated spot. Oh. And then those dudes would get their, like, kind of, I don't know, like, their followers. Like, oh, you know, like, they'd be like, oh, Ari's tapes are the shit. You know what I mean? Ari gets the best,
really?
Like, sound. Oh, yeah, there were certain tapers. And they would, like, mark their tapes in a certain way and all that. And, like, that was kind of, like, the baseball card trading aspect of the music was, like, I would go to, like, conventions at hotels where there would be, like, stacks of, like, hundreds of Dead tapes, hundreds of Phish tapes, and you'd be able to, like, you know, share and trade and shit like that. And it was a smart move because, like, it developed a very loyal, organic fan base. Like, so I could go to my brother and be like, hey, check this tape out. You know what I mean?
And he'd be like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... But it adds a nice fan base to it, and I think that that's something that I like the laugh.
That's the cool thing about that as opposed to comedy, where it's like, there's nothing to give away. Like, you're not going to, like, ruin the surprise for anyone if you see a tape or something.
Yeah.
If it's a joke, it's like, heard it.
I forget who was saying that. Like, no one ever hears a joke and goes, okay, now say it again.
Immediately.
Do you know what I mean? Like, a song, if you like a song... You
play it on loop right
you
back.
You beat
right
the
back.
Shit out of that, so, right? Like, you just play it and play it and play it, and that's what's kind of, it's kind of neat. But that's what I think about with comedy, man. I think that, like, there's certain fans that a good comic has a fan base like a Deadhead or like a Phish fan that, like, sticks. They'll go see you. They'll make it a journey. And if your album sucks, they're not going to be like, okay, let's see what Carlos Mencia is doing. They'll be like, this one was okay. I can't wait for the next one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We'll see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to stop watching football because it's a shitty football game.
Exactly. And I'm not going to stop seeing Fish because of, like, one bad show.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I was with Joey Diaz when I was playing St. Louis. Some, like, rock club. It was cool. And, but there was, like, a patio outside. We'd go smoke. And I walked out around the back. And so they could see it. Big glass doors, like those
yeah.
garage type doors. And they were broadcasting outside, so you could hear and see. And I was behind two guys, and he went into some story. And they're like, oh, he's about to do the whatever call story. Like, they already heard it.
Really?
But they were, like, super stoked that he was doing it live for them.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, that's an interesting experience.
It is an interesting experience. I think that's what... I saw Brian Regan one time, and he comes out and does requests.
Oh, yeah?
And people yell out. And I don't know if you've ever seen him, but it was, like, from grandmother to, like, parents to... grandchildren.
Were you yelling out?
Going to Brian Regan shows together, and they would be like, he's doing your favorite, he's doing the Pop-Tart bit. And the grandmother would be like, he's got a very, like, uniquely... I like him for that reason.
What?
But he would go...
For what reason?
Well, just because of the fact that, like... his fans know his shit. You know what I mean? Like, I like that. I like that about... Like, I could... Like, we have a thing where, like, we try to, like... If we hear Fish going into, like, another tune, we're kind of like, oh, they're going to play Maze. Or they're going to play that. You know, like, and we guess kind of.
Yeah.
You know it so well. And, yeah, he'll come out and be like, yeah, any requests? And people will be like, UPS. And then he'll, like, do his 4-minute UPS, like.
Oh, that's cool. I want to do bits like that after I'm doing my special or something. Where it's like, yeah, throw some shit out, guys.
Yeah.
Your call is done.
It's so wild to see, like, Sunday the whole shows. Crowd, like, yelling. It's a very interesting experience. And I think after doing stand-up and... music and all this whole thing, like, my perception of these shows has changed. Like, last New Year's Eve, I brought my wife to it, and we sat behind the stage at Fish. Sold out MSG, massive light show. I mean, it's just bananas in there. And we sat behind the stage. So the lights kind of go, like, out and over the crowd and, like, fan out, and you just see, like, you know, it's these cool blue and yellow lights and shit, and, like, you just see the people's faces looking at the band, and it's like they're just in a trance, and the music's just rocking. And, like, from a stand-up's perspective, where we're always looking out at the crowd,
yeah.
It was really kind of wild to... I'm getting goosebumps talking about it now, just seeing, like, the people and how into it, the power you have when you're on stage, yeah. You know, whether it's just us at a 40-person show or whether it's, like, sold out MSG and you're fucking, you know...
What do you mean? Just, like, commanding the audience? Like,
yeah, but on such a high level. You know what I mean? Like, they're not saying anything. They're just, like, fucking shredding instruments. You know what I mean? And people are just so, like, transfixed on... It's neat. My point is it's neat to see it from behind the stage because that's where we see it from. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it is cool to get stage passes on and you can look out, like, man, they're seeing a sea of people. Baru was like that for who's that band from Nashville? The big black chick is the lead singer.
Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, you look at them all in the sunset and you're like, damn, you get to play for that.
The view is just...
Yeah, I look around a lot of times. I guess because I'm tall, I can see it, but it's like, fuck.
Did you go out into, like, Tent City and kind of run around and get lost in the people at all, or...?
Not in Tent City. The guys we went with are not adventurous.
No.
I mean,
that's kind of why I wish I was there with you, because I would have went out there with you.
Norman would have been... But I'm like, come on, guys. We went to look at Tent City once. Like, let's just walk through it a little bit before we go one night.
Yeah.
Because, like, how come we're not finding weed? I'm like, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we're going
to shuttle back to our hotel.
Yeah, totally.
Next year, if I go, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go. We should see when it is, actually.
Did they announce it already?
I'm going to get RB. The date's probably right.
I'd imagine. I think that's the best part about it. I mean, going to these things... I just did, what's it called?
Oddball. 9th and 12th.
There it is.
You just did Oddball?
Yeah. I did Oddball in Hartford, right? And I think my favorite part was, like, talking to the stage crew. Like, talking to the guys who build the stage. And talking to, like, the roadies. And, like, going out and kind of, like, seeing it from various angles. Because, you know, your perception is your reality, right? So, like, you want to see and hear from other people... And check shit out. And, like, I think that's one of the fun... Are you already booked?
No, I don't know. Look, this Google stuff, it's just on another level. So yeah. I put in June 9th. I started at the thing. I put B-O-N, and it said Bonnaroo, maybe because I had it last year's.
Possibly.
And I was like, yeah, fill in Bonnaroo. But then it knows 9th through the 12th.
Jesus Christ.
It filled it in
there.
Yeah,
it's creepy, dude.
Capitalize. It's like, How do you know? I might do that 1-2 punch. Bonnaroo, 9th through the 12th, Glastonbury. The 2 weeks later.
Dude, I want to go out there. You know, I've never been out of the... The only time I went out of the country was Jamaica and St. Kitts, which is like a little island in the West Indies.
Really?
I want to go to Europe so bad.
Bonnaroo. And who knows when? Jesus. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
Google's great. No, it's fine, man. Yeah, it's fun to experience it from different...
Do they ever play at festivals?
Fish?
Yeah.
Fish, they headlined Bonnaroo a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great.
Did you go to that? You went to that?
No, I didn't go to that. I didn't go to that because it's too big now. Like, I don't really like... You know what? It's like a blessing and a curse, dude. Like, I found a lot of great music through Fish. I'm one of these people that, like, I want to know... Like, if you influence me as a comic, I want to know who influences you.
Uh-huh.
And I want to get into them. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I learned a lot about other music through Fish. Like, I found I found Talking Heads through Fish, and
they like them.
Yeah, and it's just like you could hear a little bit of them in it. Like, Santana.
My biggest influence is Stempy Weaselberg, who's a Catskills comic.
The Weaselberg years.
Yeah.
The Borscht Belt.
It's some political stuff. We couldn't get booked wherever we wanted, but...
He was the Lenny Bruce of the Borscht Belt.
Yeah.
Lenny Borscht. Music's fun, though, man. I love going to concerts.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the drug situation like at a Fish concert? How much...
You can get anything you want. It's getting kind of...
So the cops just leave it alone?
You know, it's kind of funny, like, for a while... Well, nitrous is huge. Laughing gas is fucking... There's, like, this thing they call the Nitrous Mafia, and, like, they pretty much, like, run the tanks, and it's weird. Like, Philly, for instance, you go see a show in Philly, and there will be a line... The parking lot will be lined with nitrous tanks, and then, like, 20 feet behind that will be a line of cops. And they're just kind of keeping it, like, you know?
Together.
Dude, balloons are, like, $10 a pop now. For a fucking balloon... Like, they fill balloons, and there'll be a guy walking around with, like, you know... Whatever, 8-9 balloons in his hand. And people, hippie crack, they call it. Because it's like, well, it used to be cheap, but huge, like, dentist sized, like, nitrous tanks behind a car. And you walk out of the show and you hear, and people are like, what the fuck was that? It's like, it's hilarious.
It's a beacon for those people.
It's the sound of the tank being turned on, filling a balloon. Like, and people go running to, running to it. And people will walk out like four balloons, and like they'll be sucking down one, and they'll not, and all the rest of the balloons will go up.
Oh no!
Oh, dude, it's hilarious. Like, just
we can't do that, idiot. You can't do an extra one holding an extra balloon. You fucking idiot.
You get them for your friends, and I mean, I've watched people literally like piss like $200 away in a matter of like, I don't know, 3 minutes. Like, just they'll buy like, give me four more, and they're just handing them to their buddies before like. They think the tanks are going to get busted.
It's a cool drug. It's like...
It's a weird high.
And you start laughing, and then it's gone in a minute and a half.
It's gone. It's like it's just cutting off oxygen to your brain. It's all back. It's like Twin Peaks and the Black Lodge.
It's going good. I like the...
You turn your head, it's like... And it kind of moves like nice and slow.
We did it in Thailand, but I don't remember moving that much. Maybe because it's Thailand, but it's probably like 100 baht. It was like $3 maybe. Maybe they're 50 baht. I actually have no idea how much they were. But like...
Where was it?
In Thailand. One of those full moon parties. That's where we got them. And then also in Koh Samui. There was another one in like the party area.
Dude, you've been so many fucking places.
Yeah.
The drug scene there now is... I mean, it's obviously tons of incredible weed. You could get anything, you know, you want in the parking lots. Essentially, like, are you familiar with, like, shakedown or any of that, like, terminology?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what happens is, like, the parking lots fill up as early as possible.
Yeah.
And organically, kind of this one strip becomes kind of, like, the center of town. Like, little, like, parking lot town. Uh-huh. And they call it Shakedown Street, which is, like, kind of like a tip of the hat to a Grateful Dead song called Shakedown Street. And it's, like, that's where... People will, like, lay out a tarp, and they'll sell glass pipes, they'll sell rolling papers, lighters, they'll, like, people make like glass blown art, or they'll do like art of the bands and shit like that, you know.
What do
they
call Shakedown Street? What does that mean?
Well, I think it's just, you know, like kind of like a spoof on like if they made a street, but Shakedown Street is a...
Isn't Shakedown where cops come to bust you?
Yeah. It's a Grateful Dead song that like it's a
well, and we are. I mean, what's the song?
Funky tune. I don't know, the song's like, that song came out during like it's called Disco Dead. It's like a very like, you should listen to it, it's actually a pretty great tune. But it's like, nothing's shaking on Shakedown Street, used to be the heart of town. Like, don't tell me this town ain't got no heart, you just gotta poke around. That's like the words to it. So, anyway, I think they just call it Shakedown because it just became a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, you could walk around there and people sell food and sweatshirts and whatever. And that's where like, you'll be walking by. I made a joke about this in my set. You walk by dudes and they'll like lean in and they'll be like, shrooms, doses, Molly. Like, they'll just whisper what you have, mm-hmm. or what they have, and you go like, what do you got, dude? And then you go in between two cars and I'll have like a fanny pack and I'll be like, oh, I got this like family acid. I got like these like...
Family acid.
They make everything. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. All of a sudden you're at like... It's like a Cairo, Egypt like street market. Like, mm-hmm. Now you're working like, oh, I've got the cleanest hash in the... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it turns out, into this very... It's like, just give me what the fuck you want.
Just say acid.
So they'll walk by and be like, dude, this acid was made by my boy. And like, fucking, he's a chemist at like Cal Berkeley. Or, you know, and it's just... You're like, bro, I don't want to hear it. Like, yeah. Just give me it. Is it that real? Yeah. So you just, whatever. And you do your little exchanges and shit like that. And, I mean, there's everything. I think Molly's clearly like one of the biggest things. Psychedelics are coming... It seems like it's made a huge comeback. It seems like when that like whole ecstasy boom happened, acid and like mushrooms always seem to be there. Mushroom chocolates are huge.
Chocolates are great.
Incredible. Red Rocks, they did Four Nights Fish there, and I don't know if you've ever been to that venue.
Mm-mm. I want to.
You have to go. I saw Neil Young there this summer, dude. It's just gorgeous. Funny story about Red Rocks, when I was living in Denver, during the Democratic National Convention, they bussed all the homeless people to Red Rocks, and they just played movies and had like Quiznos like cater it, and like homeless like lived at Red Rocks.
Right.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I just like shipped them over there, like, yeah. Stay here. We're like, no,
we're gonna set it up nice for you. And they played movies and like, because they wanted to make Denver like downtown. There's a huge homeless population.
16th Street is sixth or 16th?
16th. There's garbage. A place called Five Points, which is in like North Denver, and it's like real bad. But anyway, they shipped them all up there.
That's by the stadium. No,
it's kind of like further. No, okay. I mean it's a walk.
By the stadium there. Where that's kind of gross.
Gross too, absolutely. Yeah, very. Yeah, the train station too. It's pretty dicey over there. But I forget what I was saying. Oh, mushroom chocolates. Incredible. And you just stand up there and just like kind of. Red Rocks is just a natural amphitheater, and it's like you're in this like stadium made out of stone.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful, and you just hang up there, and they had really nice, but I had someone put a little drop of liquid on my mushroom chocolate, so it was like,
acid mushrooms.
Yeah, and it was a really nice, clean, fun experience.
I took acid mushrooms at Bonnaroo, I think, of all places, Billy Joel?
Oh, no way!
I mean, he played the last day, so it's like, what am I going to do? I'm
not bringing shit home. What? Yeah, that's when you just fire sale. You kind of just, like,
eat. But I was taking some mushrooms, and they weren't really hitting... No, excuse me, I know what it was. I'd already taken mushrooms the day before, 2 years before, with everybody. And then, so this is a day or two later, and I found acid, and I asked a couple people, like Soder, Norman, Jay, Christine, they were like, no, I'm not taking acid. I'm like, all right. Christine's the only one that was like, she's like, no, I'm not. And she looks at Jay to see if she's
okay. Can I do it, Dad?
And you can tell she wants to.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I don't want it. She goes, yeah, I don't want that. Like,
that's hilarious. That's so funny. Why is everybody so scared of acid? Like, people are willing to do mushrooms.
I'm scared of it.
You are?
Mm-hmm. It's sort of natural, so you can't OD on it. There's nothing, nobody can make it too strong.
You're more scared of
acid. Nobody can make the mushrooms too strong. They're just what they are.
Ari, I don't know, man. I've had...
You get a good batch and all, but like...
I was at a Fish concert in Hartford, Connecticut, and I ate... This guy walks by, and he goes, mushrooms? And we're like, yeah, come here. There's five of us. And we go, give us like a half ounce.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, for five... He's like, for you five? And he's like, yeah. I go... He goes, I couldn't consciously, like... feel good about selling you that much, like, for he goes, you guys should all just split an eighth. And we're like,
all five of you?
I was like, five of us, dude. I'm like, we're like 200 pound plus dudes, like, This isn't our first rodeo, bro. Like, I mean, thank you. See it,
but just over a quarter. Maybe not a half ounce, but come on, bro.
The guy sold us a little more than an eighth. Like, he, like, made us, like, a 4 gram, like, little bag.
Yeah.
It got passed around to everybody. I was last. I got, like, the dust, essentially, at the bottom of the bag. Poured it in my mouth. You know, normally, what do you think? About 45 minutes to an hour, you start to feel.
Yeah.
We're hanging out in the parking lot, and, it's a very dusty parking lot. It was like a hot, hazy day.
Fish concert.
And all of a sudden, it's like the sky starts to turn like a bright, bright orange. And I'm squinting, and it's like I felt like I was in the desert. And like all this, it was like, whew, like I'm tripping balls. Like, oh, like a,
how long?
A half hour.
Okay.
Ari, I'm faced. Like, I am gone. And the sun turned into like a black, it was like I was looking at a black bean, like, and it was just like I was watching radiation just come off the sun, like, at everybody, and I'm looking around, and the ground turned into graph paper, like XY axis, like it was going topographically, like over, like I could see like divots and dips and rocks, and the whole like terrain became a graph.
What?
And I'm looking around, and I'm like, and my buddies are like kind of spaced, and they're all doing, and I'm like, I'm feeling this the worst than any. I'm like, I know this. Finally, my buddy's like,
powder.
Time to go into the show, everybody. So like everyone starts getting their shit together, and like I keep fiddling with my pockets. You know what I mean? Like you get in that weird like panicky, like, okay, I have my keys, I have my wallet, I've got, and then I'm like, do I have my ticket? Yes, I've got my keys, I've got my wallet, and I kept like repeating
over and over again.
And we're walking through, you know, when you're at an outdoor concert, you're kind of walking through like all the cars and the different parking lots and whatever.
Yeah.
I would walk past groups of people that were talking, and I would bring with me the last thing I heard them say. Like one dude would be like, yeah, totally, man. And then I'd hear like, yeah, totally, man. Yeah, totally, man. Like it came with me until the next conversation. That dude would be like, yeah, throw me a beer. And I'd be like, yeah, totally, man. Yeah, throw me a beer. Yeah, totally. And it was like
Reggie Watts concert.
It was sticking. Yes. Like I was on a loop. I was on a fucking loop, dude. And I got like 8 or 9 different. And I, to the point where I had no clue what the fuck was going on. I had a bottle of water with me. I got into the part where everyone's trying to get into the gates, and there's a sea of people. Yeah. And I'm really starting to panic. Like it's getting to the point where like faces are just like kind of, you know, just like trailing, you know what I mean? Like an eye would stay, but everything would go. And it was like deep, deep tripping hard. And I started to hold on to a railing, and I felt like I couldn't let go of it. And my buddy Nick, who wasn't tripping at all, was standing there with me, and he goes, what the fuck are you doing with your hand, bro? And I was like, I can't let go of this railing. I'm like, I'm gonna go down, I think. And he's like, what railing? He's like, there's no railing. Ari, I'm holding on to nothing. I just have a gripped like fist pointing down.
Wow.
And it's all these people trying to get into the show, and they're looking at me like, this guy's or at least I think they were looking at me like, this guy's losing it. So I feel like I start to feel a little faint, like I think I'm gonna drop at this point. Hot day. And I pour my water like over me, and all of a sudden I'm like transported to like this amazing like waterfall, you know what I mean? Like I feel like I'm under like a rainforest in Brazil, and there's just like
way more comfortable.
And I'm just like, this is amazing. I'm like, dude, I have shivers. And my buddy's like, Mike, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? I never took the lid off the water. Like, I never actually poured the water over me. I just was imagining, you know.
That was on mushrooms?
Yes, and I was scared to death, man. And we had like 3 more people till I'm getting in.
Nobody's saying, what are you doing? Obviously, they're on mushrooms. You know what they're doing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Don't be like, what you're doing doesn't make sense.
I wish.
It's the worst thing to say.
It's terrible. You want to know what the worst thing to say? My buddy Nick is going, Mike, what happened? He goes, you ate mushrooms, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, what happened is you ingested poison. And that poison is now entering into your system, and it's clearing in through your.
And it, fucking realistic.
It was so bad.
Not the right time, dude.
Everything. I could hear my heartbeat in my ears.
Instead,
I was losing my mind.
What do you see?
Right?
Yeah,
make it fun.
Yeah.
Because you're so vulnerable at that moment, you know? And he goes, you need to eliminate the poison and the toxins in your system. So the second you get inside, man, you got to throw up. Like you got, and he's telling me to puke, which is the probably one good thing he told. I was going to anyway.
Yeah, but I get inside. It's always you do mushrooms.
Right.
It's poison, but it's like it's fine.
You don't need poison. To be told that while the poison's destroying your life. So I run inside and I see two of my buddies, and they're like, let's go, dude, whatever. And I just start like violently vomiting all over, like 2 steps into the venue. I'm like, blah, and I just start yakking. And I got all the demons out, man. And I was like, woo! And I'm like, let's go get a beer. And it, like, from that point on, it was like, the greatest night of my life.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal, very like fractal, you know, like each song was an eternity. I like losing track of time. Like, I don't like worrying like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. Like, we only have a few more hours. I like to not care at all about time. To me, that's a fun sure. night. You know what I mean?
Watch away, put your clock away, and just fucking...
Just go. The
sun will come up.
That's it. It'll be over soon.
I saw Stuart Lee say that in Edinburgh. This guy was looking at his watch a bunch, and all the sets there are an hour. Hour sets, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like...
Really? How long are the shows?
Hour.
So you only have one performer per
one
show?
Performer, yeah.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, when I started my show, I was like, we should go an hour and a half. They're like, we think an hour. I'm like, I don't know. But then I got there, I was like, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no shows over an hour. It's okay. Just all an hour.
And then would the crowd like run to another hour show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, it's a good audience.
Started 8:40, 9, 8:50. They just started all different sorts of times.
That's so awesome.
20 minutes, turn over the room, get to the next one. So that's why people going over, it's like a real asshole move. Like, dude, you're fucking over all these shows and these people
who sure.
want to go to another thing afterwards. But anyway, this guy's fishing his watch. He goes, dude, I'm on at 2:30. I'll be off at 3:30. Here's how you know it'll be 3:30, because I won't be here anymore. And that's when you know.
Yeah.
Someone else, what time is it? Oh, well, he's off. It must be 3:30.
That's hilarious.
Put your fucking watch away and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate when time is like the thing. You know yeah. what I mean? And it's so funny with comedy, too, because like you've definitely had sets where it's like you think, oh, I must be like 10, 20 minutes in, and it's like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Those great sets where yeah. it's just like, I
or
can
vice versa, too, probably. Like, how long have I been up here? I'm like, 2 to 6 minutes. Like, not an hour? Like, not close.
Have you, like, at this point, are you still like, I mean, you'll smoke before you go up, of course, but like.
Sometimes, yeah. A lot of times. A
lot of times. What are your thoughts on like other substances and like doing comedy?
It depends if it's a workout set or if it's like, you know, a paid weekend set. Not in town, I mean on the road where like people are paying $20 to like come yeah. see Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
You know, even here on a weekend, like I won't do like new bits. Sometimes I will. My plan is to not do new bits. That's what I said. My plan is
sure
to not do new bits, because it's like, you know what? It's Saturday night. You dressed up. You bring a girl. You just went came from dinner.
Yeah.
Get drinks. This is part of your fucking. This is date night. Tuesday, it's for me.
Like last night, you and I were at the Stand, and uh-huh. I did like 3 or 4 like brand new stories that are half baked,
mm-hmm.
and they felt great because what was there? 10 people there?
Yeah, 12, 15 people. Maybe. Yeah, but it's like guys, whatever, and it's fun. It's and you can talk out to a crowd like that.
Totally.
So like, let things go.
I love that comfort level.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, I just did a bunch of stuff about having people in my life have abortions with my kid. And people like, you know, I just kept like thinking of new ones.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this one time.
That's hilarious.
But those yeah. are fun crap. But you can't do that. I don't feel right to do that on a Saturday at the Stand. But definitely don't feel right doing that on a Saturday at like I don't know, Cobb's Comedy Club
sure.
in San Francisco yeah. or like something like that. I'm like, no. But so for substances, it's like, yeah, it's fun to fuck around, but not when I'm really being paid, when they're there to see me.
There was a video on YouTube about some kid from London that like ate acid and then went and did a set. I don't know if you've seen it,
mm-hmm.
But his buddy watched, like it was an open mic that he did or whatever. But like, I have this fantasy about like having like the like breakthrough set or like on acid or something like that, or on like some some like tiny level of psychedelic where it's like the perfect, like, because we talked about the whole microdosing
uh-huh.
thing.
He did it for a while, and then I went out of town and stopped doing it.
What did you feel any like? I mean. I remember you saying you had trouble, like you like had trouble remembering.
Trouble concentrating and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I wasn't completely isolating. Like I was still smoking a lot of pot.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what though, smoking way less pot in Edinburgh, I found it. You know, it took me a few days to find. I found it just enough to get me by, and then like more, and then I had plenty.
Sure.
But no one there really smokes, or not many people. Pete Johansson was there, he smoked, but most of the people are just boozers. And so it's like, I'm not going to leave this party to go. And they got real territorial about weed when you're doing the outdoor things.
Really?
Montreal would never do that. Montreal was like, these are all comics, fucking, of course.
Just have fun. Food
inside.
Yeah.
But they got, so it's like, you couldn't really go smoke pot everywhere. You had to wait till you walk home or something. And then it's like, I would just smoke less.
Mm.
And my memory was a lot sharper.
Yeah, man.
And yeah. I drank heavily, too.
Really?
Yeah, and it's my memory was just sharper.
That's crazy. I think booze fucks my memory up big time. And it also fucks up my energy. Like, I think that what I'm looking at way more these days with my comedy is that, like, I want to have that, like, if it's like Bill Burr versus Louis, you know what I mean? Like, I want to have that Bill Burr energy. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I want to be, like, fucking...
Yeah, it's tough on weed.
I know. Yeah, and if you're hungover.
Yeah,
like, that's a thing that, like, I really... Tired. I can't do it anymore. Like, I look at videos from, like, you know, Jay and I got our sets taped at Cap City and then at DC Improv. And I could hear it in my voice. Like, I'm just exhausted from being hungover and lazy and
all that. Yeah, they talk about, you're tell, they're like, tell, stop drinking. I'm like, what do you mean? You can always handle alcohol. And I'm like, yeah, and but he used to be 27, and he's not 27.
Exactly.
And your body doesn't recuperate as fast.
Oh, man. A good night's sleep, a healthy meal, and some yoga or something is, like, way more appealing to me.
Well, to your set, for sure. I have done, on mushrooms, on heavy mushrooms, I've done sets.
How was that?
Pretty fun. I mean, we had once where I was doing it at Outside Lands. Not Outside Lands. Blues Fest in Ottawa.
Really?
Yeah.
How big of a crowd?
In the hundreds.
Wow.
But Slayton was supposed to go on. Because it's one of those 11 o'clock and done festivals.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, I feel like most of them.
Sure.
Most of them are not the camping festivals. But
Yeah. Like, if you're driving, if it's predominantly not camping.
Outside Lands, Governor's Ball, those are all 11 o'clock ones. Yeah. Blues Fest, same way.
Yeah.
The fun thing is watching everybody leave and picking out who's on psychedelics.
Yeah, that's so much fun, yeah.
But and Slayton, he waited 5 minutes before he went on. My feeling is I was going to take him. Slayton was due his 10, I'd do my 15, or 15 and 15, and then I would go out and see the thing. Because it started at 7, that means I only have from 7:30 to 11 to see all the bands.
Right.
So that's like 3.5 hours. Like, I want all that mushroom time, so I don't want to wait until after I get off.
Yes, of course.
I want it ticking in like 10 minutes after I get off.
Right, you timed it perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Slayton didn't go on right away, and then he did like 5-6 minutes longer than normal. And then like halfway through my set, it was like, drop.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Halfway through?
Yeah, halfway through it hit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because every minute is crucial at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, with the mushroom timing.
Yeah. I had that on weed, too, with Rogan in the early days when I could get really high, and he would have me smoke before I went on, and it would, like, first 2 minutes is fine, and then it would get, you know, I'd be, like, hitting it as they're like, please welcome, Art, and I'd run in, and it was like, I'm lost.
Yeah, that's scary. I had that one high. I can't. And, you know, Jay smokes a ton, and, like, I've gotten to points now where I'm just like, no, I'm good. Like, afterwards, let's smoke a ton and talk and chill.
For you.
Yeah, and I've had moments where, like, you know, we'll smoke a bowl right before, and I go up, and it's like, I have good sets. They're, like, I feel like I'm way more patient when I'm high on stage. Like, yeah. I don't talk over my bits or anything like that, but I don't enjoy it. I really don't enjoy it. I like it.
Matt Edgar was doing this thing for a while at the Comedy Store. He could do real late night spots after midnight.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, the crowd looks like bombs went through them. There'd be people there, but, you know, spread out. It's harder sets. And he waits to do his first hit of the day, which always gets you the highest.
Sure.
When the light came on for the guy before him.
Real?
And then Jesus, he would run Christ. And go do a smoke until, like, thank you. And then the guy's like, all right, next up. And we didn't have a host. It was like, we can hear the applause. We just run in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's all tag team out there.
Yeah, basically. And then just be, like, cranked for that one.
Wow.
But I've done mushrooms a couple times. Once we had a Shroom Fest, it was a storyteller show in Montreal on Shroom Fest, and I'd come from Calgary, and I'd done before with Duncan.
Uh-huh.
at a UFC, and then a day passed for travel, and then I did the show, and it was on Shroom Fest. It was like the Monday or Shroom Fest or something.
So Jesus.
Sunday, Monday. Yeah, and so I took double the amount I took before because I'd just taken them.
Uh-huh.
Soder took them. Brandon Walsh pussed out. Theo Vaughn pussed out. I forget who else pussed out. I think half because I told them, like, these aren't as good, because I didn't realize I had just taken.
Sure.
So I took double the amount, and then they hit it hard.
While you were on stage?
No, before the show started.
Oof.
So I told them it's not kicking. You know, this is like an hour and a half before I wanted them all to take it then. Half the crowd was on mushrooms, too, so it was all like, this is like the right time.
That's cool. Yeah totally.
Soder took me, so the light kept going off on the way on the side. He kept, like, staring at that light and going, what the fuck is that light all about?
Oh, man.
But I had to get help to the stage. Like, it hit so hard that I was like, oh, fuck. And then, like, 10 minutes past, like, we were ready to start the show, and Sam, my manager and friend,
yeah.
She's like, you all right? And I was like, yeah. She's like, come on, I'll get you up there.
Hey.
And she got me up there. She knows I didn't want to, like,
fail
on it.
Do you remember the set?
No.
No.
Not at this point.
Did you go to a place, I think,
I had a good
right?
time.
Yeah.
I remember the feeling being like, that
like
was a
15 minute
set
or so, 10 or 15.
I was doing stories, so I had to, like, do crowd work, too. And warm up the crowd, and then do a story, and then bring somebody up and host.
God damn it, man! That's crazy. That's ballsy. No, of course you got to try that. Like, I remember when starting out, I would go up so hammered, and I now I can't. I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate it. I want to be sharp. I want to be like, I'd rather do like I don't mean like a cocaine or anything. You know what I mean? But like, I have terrible ADD. I have awful ADD. I have a prescription for Ritalin. Which I don't really take much.
I snorted it in Thailand.
Did you love it?
I don't know, one of like 8 drugs that were in me that night.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
It's, you know what's weird about any type of stimulant like that with me, man, is like I take it and I feel 100% normal. Like I don't get high.
Oh, really?
I get very like, you know, I can get shit done. You know?
Yeah.
I got the ADD where it's like I'll be washing dishes and then like I'll leave the water running and then like go like write half an email. And then I'll start like folding clothes while like the water's still running and the email isn't sent. You know, it's just like I can never get enough shit done. But
yeah,
you know, it was funny at the Grateful Dead show at Soldier Field. I went to that those final 3 shows, and this kid sat next to me, real like Jersey dude, and he sits down. He's got 2 big giant Coors Lights, puts them down, goes in his pocket, and pulls out an envelope of mushrooms. And he just opens his mouth and like guzzles the mushrooms.
Damn.
Then he fucking takes the beer, chugs half of it, puts it down, goes in the other pocket, pulls out a little dabber bag of Molly. Like it was fun dip. Like he just licked his finger and
he's
like, guns
so
it.
Terrible.
Rips the bag open and just like licks the bag. And it's just like not so sour. And he's
so
doing
sour.
This. He's like,
you've never felt before.
It's gross. It's like
you
instant
can't even
stomach.
Conceive of that kind of sour.
It's almost like instant like diarrhea causing gross taste, you know? And he does that and he's like, ugh. And he takes the other half of beer, guns it, throws that away. Like, it, like Ari, in a minute, you know, like he sat down and he's just like getting ready. Guns it, takes out a giant joint, puts it in one side of his mouth, takes a cigarette, puts it in the other side of his mouth. Lights the joint and he's like hitting it and all the smoke's going. He takes like 4 like enormous fucking pulls, passes it over to me, takes the beer, boom, guns half of it. So
Jesus.
Now he's like 1.5 giant beers deep, at least 1/4 of mushrooms and probably like 2 grams of Molly, like just all in a matter of 2 minutes. Puts it down, lights the cigarette, and just goes, woo, like that, and like flexes and he's like, let's go, party time, like whatever. Show starts, Grateful Dead. I mean, there's just like a million, from 75 years old people to like teenagers.
What was this, the last one?
Yes, at Soldier Field.
This was the one. This is their final
this
show.
This was their, yes, this was it. This was
with
the,
Trey as the lead singer.
Phenomenal. Fish
Guy as the
lead
singer.
Yeah.
Trey Anastasio?
Trey Anastasio, yeah. The guy sits down mid like first, second song and pulls out his phone and he's just like looking at a picture of his kid. And he just like turns to me. He's like, you want to see a picture of my little boy? And he like shows me a picture and he's like got this like very like very psychedelically like proud look on his face, you know what I mean? Like I made that, you know, like, and he was just like one little tear rolls down his face and he's like, that's my fucking boy, man. And he just sat down, lit a cigarette, and like for like the whole show just like stared at a picture of his kid.
Really?
And I was like, this guy, what plane of existence, like where is this guy consciously right now that he's like that spun out? I watched him eat more drugs than I've seen like groups of people take, and he's just like staring at a like picture of his little boy like with like a baseball bat and like
damn,
at a Grateful Dead concert, like, and the emotions that were going on in that place were like, it was amazing. It was like an enormous 75,000 person like family reunion, you know, like everyone was in a good mood, everyone was in good spirits.
I saw that video of one of the guys in the band just taking a golf cart out around.
Yeah.
And he's over going, hey man, hey, oh hey. And he was just waving the crowd.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
They're all chill about it.
It's super cool, man. That's one of the things. It's like, you know, it breaks down that wall between like performer and audience. There's like, you feel like a part of the family. I love all music, dude. Like, I'll listen to Tool or The Shins or The Roots or whatever, you know, like Coltrane. I just, for me, there's always been this thing about like my buddies that I grew up with, that I played sports with, that we all like dated the same chicks and we all got into trouble together and like parents died and all, you know, like we went through so many stages of life. These are the dudes that I go see shows with. So like Fish announced their tour, their New Year's Eve run.
Yeah.
And I just got like a barrage of texts from people that like, it's like the circus is back in town. Like, who's going? Where are we? People getting hotels. People already booking. You know, no one has tickets, but it's already like the plan. So it's just this kind of like we pick up where we left off.
Have you seen their fan base get older and more like successful financially?
Fish, yes. It got for a while very like I would see people in the crowd and they would be like this really rat dirty like scummy dreadlocky kids, and I'm like, when this show ends, where the fuck, like what bridge does this kid live under? Like I don't see you in like society, you know.
Yeah.
It's getting very like very hip, like it's like a very kind of like, their last album was like hipster friendly in a weird way, like more than ever before. Fish? It's not noodly and peace and love and all. It's very dark. Like, their music goes to strange places, and I think that they get like kind of written off as this like foofy fucking, you know, like noodly hippie music, and it's really not. It's very like explorative and dark, and like it goes places that like you forget what song it is, and you're like, Jesus, this is fucking deep. Like, if you get too high, you kind of almost get a little bit like scared at points.
Really?
And I like music like that. I like shit where it's like, I gotta really pay attention, you know, like this is getting kind of radical here for a minute. So
yeah,
I like that stuff. So it's, I mean, they're getting great. They're, I mean, 31 years they've been together. 32 Ooh, years Fish.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, so it's fight? Like they broke up for a while because Trey got way into drugs.
Nice.
He got arrested for a whole bunch of... He had, like, a mixed bag of, like, pharmaceuticals.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So he got into a lot of trouble. But, I mean, look, I like I said, like, I'll go see any concert and I'll enjoy it for the moment. You know what I mean? But just for me, this is the thing that fucking gets me there. You know what I mean? And seeing the Grateful Dead with Trey was, I mean, a dream come true. And they did a phenomenal job. And Chicago did a phenomenal job of having everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you went into you went into bars and it was like, welcome Deadheads. You know what I mean? Yeah. And everyone was so happy to see you and to, like, you know, it wasn't a, like, a, the security at the shows were great. Like, the people, like, the guy selling, like, the black dude selling beers, walking around, like, the tub of Coors Lights would put it down and, like, groove out and, like, hit a joint and, like, be friendly and, like, this shit's great, brother. Like, and he was like, fun. And it, so there was never a feeling of like, you know, you gotta like watch your back or kind of like, you know, like it was a very like, it was just a great, a really great scene. And I lucked out. I got 9 tickets. I mean, tickets were going on sale like on StubHub.
Did you scalp them or you found friends for all of them?
I found, I gave my 3 to my little brother and 3 to my, one of my best buddies.
Wow.
I rigged Ticketmaster. I like grifted Ticketmaster.
What do you mean, huh?
So like tickets went on sale at 11 o'clock. So from every time tickets go on sale on the phone or online, 15 minutes before they go on sale, you can't get through.
Right.
It's like, this number, too many calls, or, you know, all circuits are busy, please. So I'll call like 25 minutes before and I get the automated thing and they go, what city and state would you like to see a show? And I went, Chicago, Illinois. And they're like, what would you like to see? And I said, Chicago White Sox. And they said, we have 93 events. Cause it was like home games for baseball. Yeah. If you would like us to list all the events, press 1. So I press 1 and I just sat there and let them read off every single home game for the White Sox. I'm in the system. So the time's going, people are calling, hitting a busy signal. They got to the last game. They're like, there are no more events. If you'd like to, I go, repeat. And it started over again, and it listed every fucking home game. And then at 10:59,
81 home games.
Yeah, at 10:59, I go, "Fare thee well." It was called "Fare thee well." It was like Grateful Dead, "Fare thee well, Soldier Field," and it went boom. We have 3 tickets available for July 3rd. If you would like to purchase these tickets, yes. And boom, and I hit it. And then it's like, "Would you like to purchase more?" And I'm like, 3 more. And I got like
3 excited, for right?
each, dude. And you're so paranoid because it's like that moment. It's like, the phone better not fucking hang up. Like, my wife's like, Mike, dude. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know,
move around
dude, just stand still. Like, get the dog out of here. I'm like freaking out. And I get like, I put my credit card number in and it's like, to confirm the order. And I like press one. And it's like, your order has been confirmed. You will receive an email. And then I'm like, more tickets. And I like hit a button. And I'm like, I ended up getting 9 tickets. So 3 for each night was the limit you could get. And my tickets, dude, I mean, face value.
3 nights.
July 3rd, 4th, 5th. $240 a ticket, face value. Like, that's what the prices were. So I had charges of, I had thousands of dollars of charge, you know, like whatever, 20 something $100. But I called my buddies and I'm like, now I'm at this point where it's like, I have 9 tickets and none of my friends have anything. Right. I'm the only one that got tickets. And now I have to make this kind of like, who do I bring? It's tough, you know what I mean? So, like, people are calling me.
And then just, like, Black Keys this year, it's like, this is the last time the Grateful Dead are playing.
This is it.
Any sort of band.
Right. So, it's like, people are calling me, and I'm like, I just shut my phone off. I was at Mohegan doing shows, and I'm in the hotel. My wife ended up getting tickets because she brought, like, a Verizon, like, hotspot, and she nailed 3 tickets, like, obstructed view or whatever, so I gave those to another buddy. But I just put the phone away, and I was like, I can't deal with this shit right now. Like, first person I called was my little brother, and I'm like, you're in. Like, don't worry. Yeah. Don't say anything to anybody. And then I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's so many. I've been listening to the Grateful Dead since I was like 10 years old. Like, it's a thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I had a really hard time. And then, like, luckily, people one by one were like, I can't go. Like, I can't do that, you know? And it's like,
great. You got the
process of elimination. Yeah. So my best buddy, Chris, I gave the tickets to him, and he was fucking thrilled.
I thought, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that I was your best buddy.
Ari. You are my best buddy, man, but you didn't want to go.
How was Trey? How did he do?
He carried them.
Really?
He carried them. One of the cool things was watching old Deadheads that never saw Trey, never heard of him.
Were they like mad about the idea that he'd be doing it or anybody else would be doing it besides Jerry?
Well, yes, but why are you there then?
Yeah, it's like, well, they got to find somebody.
Totally.
Or they would just play the music and no songs?
Totally.
No lyrics.
Right. And you know what? Those guys are 75 years old, and they're doing a good job of playing the tunes, but like some of the tunes, like, they shouldn't have sang, they sang, and it was kind of bad.
It's like Bob Dylan, it was like...
brutal. That's no the one range. Concert I walked out of.
No range.
Brutal.
And you think, like, did he have range before? You didn't realize he did. It, because he'd be like... And before, like...
Yeah, it's exactly how it sounded, too. It was like a cat in slow motion. But what happened with Dylan was he would put two verses in the time of one verse. Like, I saw him do All Along the Watchtower, and, like, before it would be like, there must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. Now it's like, there must be some way out of here, the Joker to the thief. And then, like, the band still has to play, like, you know, and it's just like, why are you fucking with a good thing? But so, people would look at Trey, and they were like, yeah, hopefully this guy does whatever. And then it was almost like me watching my kid pitch in, like, a Little League game, and I'm just the quiet dad, like, I'm pretty
much... kid?
No. I have a dog. I'm watching, and, like, I'd see them go, wow, he really nailed that. Like, that was pretty fucking good. And then, like, they'd be like, he's not gonna hit this, you know, whatever. And he would shred it. Like, Trey did a good job of, like, not being a cover band guitar player. Like, he hit the notes he had to make the songs perfect. But then he would put his own spice in it. So it wasn't, like, him nervously playing Jerry Garcia guitar. It was him... it was Trey playing Dead songs. And what was funny was there was a little bit of onstage drama for a while where, like... and this is me nerdy, whatever, but a lot of people said it. Bob Weir, the rhythm guitar player for the Grateful Dead. He was doing this weird kind of, like, wrap the song up. Like, he would kind of be like, all right, guys, like, watch me. I'm in charge. I'm the leader. And Trey would be just getting into it and just kind of getting, like, you know, his foot wet in a jam or in a certain, like, chord or a progression. And he'd see Weird, like, doing this, and he would kind of, like, grind it to a halt. And the crowd would kind of be like, ah, like, what the fuck? Like, a collective, like, what the fuck, man, you know? And then there was a couple of tunes where, like, Bobby would try to, like, wrap the song up, and Trey would just look over at him, and finally he was just like, fuck this dude. And he would just lay into it, and the crowd would erupt, and it was like, Trey kind of won over as, like, the leader. You know what I mean? And he did an incredible job, and he was humble about it, and you could tell there was, like, a sense of humility in the way that, like, he played and sang, but you could tell that he really practiced. I mean, they did about, I don't know, man, I'd say maybe 70 tunes or something like that, you know? 70. Like, yeah, over, like, the 5 days that they did shows, because they did two in L.A.
Just to get ready.
Or San Fran, I'm sorry, yeah, just to get ready. And they didn't really repeat a ton of shit. They repeated, like, Truckin', but they went deep into the Dead catalog and played a lot of old weird shit. And I'll be honest, there was a couple moments where I kind of lost it a little bit. Like, I got very emotional, and I got, like, kind of wrapped up in the whole thing, and I would got, like, a little, like, teary-eyed, you know? And I just think it was because, like, just a 50-year, the Dead has been doing it for 50 years, like, Fish has been in it for 30, here they are together, like, doing... it's just kind of wild, man, and seeing people just completely lose it. I did get into a beef with a dude there.
No way. It's the exact wrong atmosphere for that.
Well, not like a fisticuffs, but like there was a guy talking so loud to a chick about how many Dead shows he saw and how he met Jerry. And I turn around and I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up. Like, just shut up.
Yeah.
And he's like, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, I just pointed to the stage. I'm like, please, like, I didn't come to listen to you, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, you're right, brother, you're right, like, my bad. And then he talked to me about how I was right, and I'm like, you're missing the point, Holmes, like, zip it. Like, I'm here to, you know? And that kind of got squelched, but I mean, it got, like, I don't go for that crap. Like, we're here to hear the, you know, $250 a ticket, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to hear a fucking pin drop, you know? But they did a wonderful job. Now they're touring with John Mayer. And
who is?
The Dead.
What do you mean?
They're everyone but the bass player. So those were supposed to be the final three shows.
Yeah.
And now they're not.
Wait, they're backing up John Mayer or they're playing
John Mayer's open for him? Taking Jerry Garcia's spot.
And they're still just doing it.
And it's now called Dead and Company. And to me, I've
totally lame. Especially if you're going to bill it as, this is it, we're done forever right now. They had, way in advance, they said that, right?
People probably refinanced their fucking mortgage to go to those shows at Soldier Field. And now they're doing this.
It's not the shows got taken away from them. They still got to see the shows. But, like, at the same time, like, come on, you said you were going out. I get it. You made a lot of money. Everybody's into it. Doesn't mean you fucking have to cash in. Go out.
Go and do your solo projects. Because they won't stop playing. Just like if, right. You know. But, you know, man, I have no interest. So tickets went on sale. They're doing Halloween at MSG. It sold out in 2 seconds. They added a second show. But I'm done. You know what? I went to those shows. I've been seeing concerts, you know, as a fan and professionally as a music journalist for, you know, since I was like 13 or whatever.
Because the bass player won't join in. He's like, no, he's done. How many people are left? Two out of the four?
Three out of the four are playing. They added the
guy. Paul Jerry Garcia is one. So how many total?
Wait, what do you mean?
They had five total original members?
Well, the band kind of changed form. Yeah, originally it was this guy, Pigpen. He died in like early 70s. He was the keyboard player. Jerry Garcia on guitar, Bob Weir, Phil Lesh on bass, Bill Kreutzmann and Mickey Hart, the two drummers.
I think Phil was the guy who was on the golf cart. I'm like, hey, what's up, Phil?
Phil's a good dude. He actually it's funny, he is a recipient of a liver transplant. It like saved his life. So before every encore, he comes out and tells everybody to be an organ donor.
Oh.
I kind of think it's hilarious, Ari, that he's asking a bunch of old deadheads to donate their organs. Who the fuck wants those organs? You know what I mean? It's like going to like an NFL like Hall of Fame and being like, donate your brain to like, yeah, you know, like,
someone needs them.
Yeah, you're going to get a worse organ than before. But I'm a little bit disappointed that they're doing those shows. I won't be going to any. My money will go to Fish for sure.
All right, because you're a Fish head.
I like good. I want to see other bands. I've never seen Pearl Jam. I want to see them. I would love to see the Shins. I want to see Tool. I just love good, intelligent music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some Perfect Circle once with Jay in Ottawa on mushrooms.
He told me that was a great time.
That's pretty cool. They're good visually.
Yeah, that whole Alex Gray, like, you know, the eyeballs and the fucking weird shit.
The fact that he stays way behind. The lead singer's not the focus. He's way off to back and left.
Jay and I were talking on my podcast about...
what's your podcast?
Jamcast. I talked to artists and comics and friends about their lifelong love affair with music.
Okay.
Which I would love to have you on it. And he brought up, like, how, you know, like, Rob Zombie. Like, there's a... Like, he loves, like, the flash and flare of a show. You know what I mean? Like,
show me some Marilyn Manson's early on where it's like... He's going for it to give these people.
Yeah, like he's on a cross made out of televisions and weird. Like you're seeing this like spectacle. To me, that never meant anything. You know what I mean? Like to me, it's like I'd rather watch like a shy black dude play a sick saxophone just in the corner.
Or just watch him play guitar. You're like, damn.
That's what like Fish is just like four dudes in like fucking thermals, like playing. Right. You know what I mean? It's not. Like Jerry Garcia,
it's about the music.
He'd wear sweatpants on stage, like a fat shit. You know what I mean?
Well, ew.
Mm. The only fat diabetic heroin addict, right? So, but yeah, it's like that whole thing is just, you know, I love it. And I recommend, I would love to bring you to a show, man.
To a Fish show?
Yeah, just check it out, you know?
Yeah, we go to a Fish show and then do your what's it called?
Jamcast. Jamcast. But, yeah, man.
Sorry, I'm going to load this bowl up. Do you feel like it at all?
I'm okay right now, thank you.
Oh, then I'm not going to.
I've got quite a bit of things that I need to do post this.
Okay.
That, and I'm pretty zonked, so I feel like I got no sleep last night. So, but later on, for sure, before we do Skanks, we definitely
Spunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sex shit. That means I gotta do stuff too. Yeah. That means I got 4 hours. Fuck.
I'm okay. Trying to be smart about it.
All right, where can people find you?
At Mike Fenoya on yes, Twitter.
There's no way you're not gonna spell that for people.
F like Frank, I-N-O-I-A. On Twitter and Instagram. All my dates are on MikeFinoia.com.
Mike, M-I-K-E-F-I-N-O-I-A.
You got it.
All right.
And I'm going to be on the road a bunch this fall and winter. I'm going to be opening up for Impractical Jokers for 3 nights.
Are you doing
on
that?
The road. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I just did hosted Judge Roast Battle with
Sal.
Sal, yeah.
He's a good dude, man.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
We're doing a couple of theaters in Kansas City. I think maybe like... Des Moines.
So you're open for him?
And then Indiana, yeah.
Do anything yourself? Or you say you're trying to open up crackers?
Then from there, I'm going to try to burst out. I'm supposed to be in Richmond, Virginia with Jay that weekend. So I don't know what's going to happen. I might just fly over.
When are you starting that tour with them?
November 17th.
Okay.
But I've got a bunch of shit before then on the road. I'm doing a ton of dates. They're all on my website. And if you're ever in the city and you want to check out a great show, you've done it a bunch, Grift Comedy at The Stand.
The Stand, yeah.
It's a
good
show I've been running for about show. 2 years now, so it's going well.
What is that,
every other Wednesday at 10.
Okay.
And I try to book it. I just try to have my favorite people on the show.
Yeah.
So it's fun for me to watch, too.
You should get Trainastasio.
I would love to, man. I would love to. The bass player, I think, Mike Gordon, he's very into comedy.
Really? Shit,
so, yeah. But I recommend checking them out. You know, like, they're on fire, dude. They're a lot of fun fish right now.
Favorite fish song? You have to choose one.
Susie Greenberg.
That's what I'll go out to.
Susie Greenberg. Yep.
Man, is that just because of me and my background?
Of your Judaism background.
Greenberg's a very Jewish name.
I know. Yeah. Yes, I do. It's a great song.
All right, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Mike Fenoya, fish head. Thanks.
All right, see ya. Come on, baby, do the fish. I'm gonna teach it to you right. Come on, baby, you just like fish. We're gonna do that fish tonight.
That was the episode, everybody. Thank you, Mike Fenoya. Okay, so I've got my sperm solution mixture. Opening it up. I waited 2 minutes. Opening up this thing. Cap. I'm putting exactly 6 drops of sperm solution into the sperm chuck. No more, no less. 6 drops. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 drops exactly. 6 drops exactly. Begin timing after the sperm solution to. Okay, that's now. Stop, reset, start. Okay, 10 minutes. Read the result at 7 minutes. Do not read the result. Test or 7 minutes, not even 10 minutes. 7 minutes. Okay. So that's the episode. Yeah. So that seems fun though. Fish concerts and like going from town to town, shit like that. That seems cool. You know, bunch of drugs, getting into some adventures. You know, I've been listening to music a little bit. It's Interception Philadelphia. Oh, he's going back all the way. Fucking, I love watching a quarterback die for somebody's legs. Brady missed by like 3.5 feet. He's still in the background on his butt. He just flopped at him as if his good lookingness would somehow take down a fucking defensive end. Oh, so stupid. God, oh, if this is out before I put up this episode, then I'm going to get that highlight of fucking Tom Brady trying to take this guy down. Here it comes again, the replay. Okay, the one guy actually tries, and then Tom Brady, he turns him around twice. He just fall. Yeah, but anyway, Boston shows were good. Guys, don't forget December 15th in Manhattan. This is not happening. The last one till at least April, maybe May. I'm not going to be back in New York till then. I am doing it at Sketchfest. One show on Saturday night of Sketchfest sometime in January. The week before I go to Denver. At where the Purple Onion was. So maybe I'll do San Francisco stories. Oh, I gotta think if I have one, which I probably don't. But yeah, I'm doing one show back in there. It's a different room, but I don't know. It should be fucking cool. And I'll be back at Punchline, like, bigger, you know, I think in, like, May. Maybe. But the point is, come to the December 15th in Manhattan. And 25% off everything in the store now through to the end of the year. Get Christmas presents for people of shirts that'll get you kicked out of Sports Authority. Somebody got kicked out of Sports Authority for wearing a Do Mushroom shirt. Oh, by the way, so I've got a design for next season, for next year. The End of the Road Tour. Because we're going off the road. It's the end of this special. Either June or October. Or October, I'm deciding now. I'm leaning towards June. Why wait? Some of these bits are done. Why wait? I'll take the 6 months, whittle it down to an hour. What I've got, it's like an hour 25. Whittle it. Work on it. Tight. In 6 months. That stuff, yeah. And then it'll be back up to an hour 10, hour 15. That's, all right. All right, I'm talking to myself now. So, where was I? Okay. I have no idea. How did I just get high? It's because I just jerked off for the first time in 2.5 days. That's why. All right, let's do it. No, wait, we're not done. I got to wait 3.5 minutes. But okay, so here's it. I could just pause. I'm not going to. But speaking of San Francisco, Nick Youssef is taping his next CD there. I think the 15th. I think the same day that I'm doing my This Is Not Happening show in New York, I think he's doing, which is not being filmed, by the way. It's be there, be square. None of this fucking, you got to record. Nah, you're either there or you fucking missed it. So Youssef is recording a CD at the Punchline. So go to their site or Youssef's site and go to his next CD. Put one out another like year and a half, 2 years. China? When was I in China? A year before June? And he was already putting, yeah, he was recording it then. So just over a year. Good job, Nick Youssef. I mean, it's clearly a plot. You're trying to catch us off guard. So, 2 minutes, you guys. I can't wait to see. But yeah, those Fish concerts seem cool. I mean, if you really don't care about the music, which I don't, and I could see myself getting into, if I'm on psychedelics, I could see myself getting into some stuff like that that I wouldn't normally have gotten into. But sometimes even like regular shit, like Family Guy gets real deep and like, what? And but, oh, also, if you have not been keeping up on South Park this year, you should catch up. Go to southparkstudios.com. It'll redirect you. But, February 23rd is when This Is Not Happening comes out. It's amazing this year, you guys. There was one episode that was like, not that funny, but the rest have been hilarious, and they all hold together. It's fucking, I mean, man, it's brilliant this year. It's a brilliant season. I have to pause it sometimes and think about the analogies they're making. Like, really think about it. I mean, laugh super hard, too. But then think about all the analogies they're making, and it's like, wow. Anyway, so I'm up to date on that shit. And I wouldn't watch more than one episode in a day. Let it fucking sit. Let it sit. Watch an episode, then let it sit for a day. Think about at least a day. Let it think about what they fucking said, and then go to the next one. Not right away. We just whip through them. Bam. Anyway, so here we go. 40 seconds. Why do I want to be infertile? Because honestly, guys, the odds of me having a baby right now with some random chick in Tucson versus eventually having it with someone I really care about and want to raise a kid with, it's so far swayed towards the random chick in fucking Topeka. Okay, how do we read the results? 7 minutes. How to read the test results? Yeah. Absent the control C, test T. Okay. Positive, T or C. Negative, low, and then there's invalid. Okay, positive, normal. C is upper. C is upper. Wait. It's up towards the C. If you see a test line at the T position of the, in the result window, your sperm count is at least 20 million. But I don't see it. A test line. If you do not see a line at the C position, your test did not run. I do see a line at the C position. If you see a test line in the T line, then your sperm is at least a little reddish line. Yeah, I see a reddish line. If you do, then my sperm count is at least 20 million sperm per milliliter. That sounds like a lot for anyone. If you do not see a line at T position, your sperm count is below 20 million negative and should be consult a physician about complete fertility evaluation. But I do see a reddish line. Oh, I'm fertile. Derv. Oh. Yarg. Damn it. I'm going to have to get a vasectomy. Bullarg. Anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. Or I could just date women that are survivors of ovarian cancer. Is there a website for that? Servovermatch.net. All right. I'm going to my show in Providence. You guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for Mike Fenoya. Don't forget to check out his podcast, Jamcast. If you're into him, you can find more of him there. And that is the episode. Next week, all about McDonald's. Bye. Yeah.
genius she's not. She says she wants to be a sociologist, but she better first get checked by a neurologist.
And we're all just again.